At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, back at it. On a little Rando Tuesday style, Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice to my right, CB behind the glass. Boys, how we doing?
Good, man. Doing well. Nice little Tuesday action going on. I had a crazy dream last night. I had a wild dream last night because, as you know, I've been knee-deep in House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you tapped into that just yet. Season 2 has just been popping off, and the first two episodes have revealed themselves after Sunday. I had a dream that I was riding a dragon last night, just like around Westeros. And I don't really remember
too much. I thought you were going to say around Westerville.
No, not around Westerville, but I was riding around King's Landing and all of that. And like the details are pretty vague, but I was on top of a dragon last night. And I think I was even letting out some fire on some people. So I was taking out some folks. That happens to me a lot. If I watch something right before I go to bed, usually I'll have a dream about what I just watched. One night I was watching Shogun, the show on FX, and there were samurais coming to kill me and all type. Like, my mind is just absolutely crazy right before bed. So, yeah, had an interesting night last night riding a dragon around Westeros, man. How you been? You doing all right?
Yeah. When did that take place? During the hockey game?
No, it was when I went to bed. I was in bed, and it was after the hockey game, which was incredible. By the way, the three games we mentioned yesterday, Game 7 in the NHL, CB's Guardians and Orioles in the College World Series final, all of them were great games. All of them came down to the wire. But yeah, after I got done watching Game 7 and goalie Bob bring it home, I just fired up the second episodes of House of the Dragon again, and then I had that dream.
Nice.
Riding a dragon.
Matty, burning the midnight oil a little bit last night.
Sometimes you got to take some of the bad guys out, you know?
I stayed throughout the entire interview process. I want to be more enlightened of, yes, I want to attribute the fact that you're riding the dragon because you watched the show. I'm wondering if went deeper, what that would mean. Like, there's
on the couch right now.
There's always deeper meaning. Although with yours, it may not be because you just watched the show. So that doesn't make any sense.
Do you remember your dreams?
Some of them I do.
Yeah.
I try hard to remember them. I'd like to be able to try to, like, when I wake up having had a dream and you want to get back into the dream. Trying to fall asleep, and I hope I can get back in there.
There should be a way I agree.
To portal yourself back in if you want.
Unless you're having a terrifying dream. And usually I have a lot of those. Like, I'm getting beat up in a lot of my, like, I don't know what's going on.
Pistol whip.
Exactly, in the upside down of my brain. But, yeah, that was my dream last night, getting my Khaleesi on, riding around Westeros.
All right,
you got to get going on House of the Dragon. I was talking to Bobby about it.
I dipped in on it a little bit. I think, you know, once you do the ride with Game of Thrones,
this is the history. This is 300 years before we get to what we saw in Game of Thrones. We were talking to Bobby today before he left, and I'm sending him breakdown videos on YouTube. I got you covered. Whatever you need.
Well, he was showing us some videos too, but they weren't about that.
He was showing us.
And then, you know, I feel like three of us did so much talk when Game of Thrones was on.
Yeah.
And you know, my rookie season in Game of Thrones, my first episode was a beauty with Reek. Speaking of dreams, it wasn't a dream. I feel like going back in there, I just don't think I can do it. I've dipped in a little bit. Is it as suspenseful and
it's really good.
All that stuff?
Really good. I would not bring it up if I thought it was trash. I think it's good. You need a new show to watch. Hockey's done now. Baseball's in full effect. We got a couple months until football gets going. Yeah, hop on in. Hop on a dragon with me, man. We'll ride around and burn some people.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, that'd be fine. I don't really have any...
You're not going to watch. I can tell by... See me, I can tell by his tone he's not going to watch.
I dipped into it. I just feel like there's just so much dialogue and narrative. I don't want to think that hard. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm
filling
here
the
for.
Gaps.
I can fill in the blanks for you. We all got right. a new Joffrey in the rub too. It's just God, little Aemon. Aemon Hightower is the king, and he's just the
how
mess.
Many.
Only so, two in so far. One
but
season.
Last season, yeah. I watched last season, and it just didn't hook me.
One season, and now we're obviously inching closer and closer to, well, not really, because we got introduced to one of the Starks in episode one, and he is the grandfather, the great-great-great-great-grandfather of Ned Stark, who you know was Jon Snow's.
Yeah.
So that's how far, 300 years before we get to what we've seen in Game of Thrones. But it's good, man. It's well-written. It's beautiful. The story is awesome. George R. R. Martin doesn't have to do a thing the rest of his life because he wrote those books and talk about a cash cow.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Just think about the comforts we have of today and how what did they do back then? Because it seems like when you think about all those years ago and they've created this and the clothing is good and, I mean, they've got some real old world craftsmanship going on with the clothing and all that.
Yeah.
Yet you kind of wonder, what do they do for, like, toothpaste and toilet paper and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think there was a lot of that going on. I think hygiene back then was absolutely horrendous.
But they went so good on the fashion. Like, they just, no
that's
one
true.
Could somehow
they
say,
do
let's,
look good.
Yeah.
But I think you just kind of accepted B.O. back
and the
then.
The buildings and everything and, like, the structures. Like,
it's awesome. It is awesome. But, yeah, to
but
your
no
point.
No toothpaste.
I don't think they knew any better. I just think bad breath was probably good breath.
I wonder
then.
If that's the case. We just... Right, yeah,
your
just
morning
normal.
Breath, your morning breath smells incredible today.
I mean...
How do I make that happen?
Well, listen, they're breathing fire too, I guess. Not just the dragons. Like, that's the stuff that goes through my mind.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, there were so many advances in, like, jewelry and stuff that they were, like, you've done everything right. I mean, the tables and the...
You know what? We've seen throughout the show that they take, like a hot steam bath or something like that. You just kind of sit in hot water. I don't know if we were dialing it up with, you know, bar
you
or
ain't jacuzzi nobody
or Irish. There's no Irish Springs, but I think
that's the other.
Sitting in some warm water, you see that a lot in Game of Thrones. They take like a hot steamy bath. They had to have some type of minerals or something back then, but to your point, I don't think the buildings or, you know, the clubs back then or the brothels, actually I should say, smelled very good.
They just seem so advanced in every other area. But the real fundamental stuff, you just wonder what in the world they
were
doing.
You bring up a good point.
Yeah. Last night's game was a great hockey game. History told us it was going to go under. It did. I lost the bet on the first. I mean, ironically, there was one goal scored in the final 53 minutes.
Christ.
The first two come in the first seven, and then it's on. And we told, you knew Florida had to score first, and Edmonton coming right back, and it was one of those games that you wonder whether you wanted to buy into the momentum of Edmonton or try to erase and go one gamer with Bob. He is technically the better goalie, although Skinner has been playing. He's, like I said yesterday, he's been out bobbing Bob. And so it was an incredible game. I really don't have any, there's no real analysis other than you could tell that Florida felt like, if we're going down, we're going down with our identity. We're going to hit. We're going to play defense. We're going to do everything it takes to force Edmonton to be that team. And I got to tell you, when you look at the box score, it's tough when the best player on the planet, it's not like basketball where we can just get him the ball, get him the puck, let him do his thing. It's just not like that. And it doesn't work that way. And Draisaitl was non-existent, didn't have a shot on goal, and some of their big stars. But it was right there for the taking. And part of me was wishing for overtime. Like, that would have been, you know, in a game seven, there'd be nothing better than that. But give it to Florida. This was a team that certainly was very good top to bottom. The Bobrovsky thing is interesting for us because it's not like he was discovered by anybody, but maybe Philly. Like, he was undrafted. And signing players out of Russia is not the most convenient, easy thing to do. And so when he was really good at the start with Philly and then, you know, fails in the playoffs, he was starting to get this moniker of being a great regular season goalie. And when the lights were the brightest, he wasn't that guy. And I have to applaud how far he's come in his journey. Now, you can knock him for not being able to adjust to what the Jackets wanted him to be here, and maybe he felt it was all on him, and I don't need to be fixed, and I'm not a mental, you know, monster. I don't have a problem with that. But there was real evidence that he had all the talent in the world and the work ethic, but melted sometimes in big moments. And there wasn't a bigger moment last night than him having to rescue a game seven when he had been pulled for the first time in his playoff career and not an extra attacker, just got lit up, and then having to come back and have that all on his shoulders and have him have a very, very good game.
Yeah, man.
I have to applaud it.
He was awesome. Yeah. He was absolutely awesome. The third period where there was so much static around him, you know, coming from Edmonton side of things, and he stood up. McDavid almost puts one in, but Bob finds a way to stop it. I mean, he showed up right on time. You mentioned basketball. I mean, Goalie Bob's game seven felt to me like, you know, a basketball player, how they can have a quiet three quarters, but then the fourth quarter comes around and they bring it home. Mm-hmm. Like, that was his game seven. I mean, you're talking a save percentage of .958, and he was standing on his head for some of that there. So I'm happy for Bob. You mentioned his journey. I know CB's got some sound from Goalie Bob. CB, go ahead and play that second one from him on, you know, his journey to this point.
Like, they got the free, you know, three losses in a row, but we were thinking that, like, we have to overcome that to become a true champion. We have to overcome the adversity and everything that opponent or enemy throw at us, you know, to become the really true champion. Just one moment at a time, that's it. It was an unbelievable energy. The fans give us a fuel. So it was so quick, you know, the intensity, the emotions. It was tight, and it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Took a lot of mental toughness to do what he did yesterday. And not just him, but Florida in general. We talked about it yesterday before Game 7 popped off. And it's just, I mean, when you have that team and they're getting closer and closer and closer in your rearview mirror game by game to feel the heat that they were feeling, you know, throughout that back end of the series into this one, to come out on the other side is great. So, yeah, I'm happy for Bob personally, a guy that we all rooted for here for a while, and now he can call himself, you know, one of the best goalies in the sport, but more importantly, he can call himself a champion.
Yeah, that's a strong club, man. That is a strong mentally, and Maurice had them ready to go. Give him credit, because all the momentum was on them. And they're at home, so either, I mean, you'd love to be at home, there's no doubt. You wouldn't pick to be in Edmonton for that. But they used it to their advantage. They scored first, even though they gave up that next goal. They found a way to settle in and make that game about getting the lead, because you and I talked about it. Mentally, we were very worried for Florida.
Absolutely.
How could you not be?
Right.
Like, they were going to be on the wrong side of history. They were going to be the Atlanta Falcons, the Buffalo Bills. There were going to be a lot of teams that talk about what if. And then going to the Cup final twice and not coming away with it and having a 3-0 lead. And that's it, man. When you have, it's like having a big lead in a game. I don't know if they relaxed. I know Tkachuk talked about maybe they wanted to win it so bad and clinch, they started to press when they got up 3-0 a little bit instead of letting it come to them. By the way, what do the odds say about Matthew Tkachuk and Jason Tatum, like, being classmates in high school and both winning a title in the same few weeks?
Yeah. In the same few
weeks.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
I saw a video come out. I think he sent a little video over to Jason Tatum. But, yeah, I saw a picture of them, I should say, I believe a week or two ago. Like, they're on a school bus, and they're just a couple young lads, man. And now everything comes full circle. And as you say, those two guys are the best in their sport right now and going into a summer to where it's going to be exciting times for them. Yeah, so congrats to the Panthers, man, to get that monkey off their back as a franchise is awesome. But for us personally, I know a lot of people were pulling for Bob, so to see him crawl out of that Batman hole that he was in throughout the series and come out on top, so it was awesome to see.
Yeah, I think it's a little hit and miss because he wanted out.
Yeah.
But I think that I think you can applaud knowing the work ethic and what went into that, and then having to win a game seven when it's all on your shoulders to be the best guy out there, and he was. And I have zero problem with him not winning Conn Smythe. Like, that's about, if you want to make an MVP about the final, then of course he could be it.
Yeah.
But if it's the entire playoffs, McDavid has to get it. Is it awkward delivering that trophy to the MVP on a losing team on road ice?
It's weird.
Of course it is. But
he was amazing.
You have the last laugh. You have the cup.
Yeah. I mean, McDavid, I saw a graphic this morning. I mean, I think it was the fourth highest point total in a single postseason in NHL history. Yeah. The guy deserved it. He was a beast.
But he didn't factor when he needed a fact, as much as he tried to.
That's true.
And that's hockey. Like, somehow, it'd be like taking, because they kept comparing him. He's the Jordan of this. Well, Jordan's not putting up a goose egg in the fourth quarter of a NBA Finals game.
But to your point, Jordan can say, give me the dang ball, get out of my way. In hockey, it's a little different.
All right, we will get started here. By the way, real quickly, I know that, you know, Emily Kaplan's doing the stories, you know, or the interviews after the thing. And she was actually taking a lot of heat for some certain questions. I don't think so. I'll tell you which ones when we come back, Maddie. And another person weighing in on Ohio State and how much they have. They have it all and more. And we'll update that poll that we had the other day as well on Ohio State. And we'll bring it to you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If your idea of the perfect radio show is all Buckeyes all the time, then it's your lucky day, Slappy. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Rothman and Ice, the number one rated midday show in Columbus.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
I think when Emily Kaplan was interviewing Matthew Tkachuk after the game last night, you have to remember this happens in every sport with sideline reporters. After a game like that, their job is to get the emotional. As much as I prefer the questions to be more about the game itself and strategy, and at that moment, I'd like to bring the player back into that moment, especially a very compelling game like that last night, a 2-1 game where you're just hanging on for dear life and you want to get their mentality of how aggressive did you want to play up 2-1? How much did you kind of back it in to protect Bob a little bit, right? Let's not take chances. Or did you have to convince yourself to play aggressively because you don't want to just sit on the lead? Like, as much as I want my sideline reporters to do that, because presumably they're watching the game like we are, they don't do that. They go emotional. It's more of a feature type thing. They're interviewing the coach during the game. While you want it to be more strategic, Maddie, it just doesn't seem to go that way. So after the game, she asked Matthew Tkachuk about this feeling and the dreaming of winning the Stanley Cup. And he says, he's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And I thought at the time she found a way to break through that. And she said, what can't you believe the most? And I actually, at that time, I thought that's a very interesting way to phrase that question. She was kind of lit up on it on Twitter, I noticed, like, yeah, that, because, and by the way, they're in such a bad spot of, because presumably every question is going to be stupid, according to Twitter. There'll never be anything that enlightening, right?
Of course.
And I thought, well, maybe it was just the phrasing people had trouble with. I think she has a very unique way of asking questions. She doesn't ask a lot of yes or no questions. She tries to get something. She's very concise with her questions, and she listens to the answer. And so when he said, I can't believe it, what is the logical question to ask him? You're trying to tap into his brain at that point. And when she asked, well, what can't you believe the most? Like, what about it is just so mind-boggling? I didn't think it was that bad. I don't even know what he answered, because at that point, all these guys are just out-of-body experience, right?
You mentioned Twitter, so I pulled up her name on Twitter from last night. And
Twitter.
It's rough for her, because one of them reads, quote, what can't you believe the most might be the most brain-dead Emily Kaplan moment ever. Another one reads, I will be shocked if Emily Kaplan has a job after tonight. ESPN, you guys are a joke. I mean, come on.
That's ridiculous.
To your point, Twitter's not a real place. People just go there to vent and act like tough guys anyway. So that's, she doesn't need to invest into anything like that. It's a hard job, right? I think you should have some prep for that. But in such an emotional moment where things are happening on the fly so much, I can understand how, you know, maybe your questions aren't maybe as sharp as they should be. I didn't hear the question, so I can't really give my take on what she did, but you're in a lose-lose situation more times than not when you're thrown into a job like that.
It's not a press conference.
Yeah, exactly.
She's out there on the ice, them celebrating winning the Stanley Cup. She's trying to get guys to come over to her, which they do, and try to ask something about the emotion of the moment.
Yeah.
It's the same, by the way, it's the same thing at CBJ. Like, when guys skate over and Jody has to ask him questions, he's not going to the, hey, back at the 15-minute mark of the second period. He's not doing that.
Right.
You're playing to the emotion of the victory. And I just felt like it was unfair to her. And I actually thought it was an interesting way to tap back into what he had just said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way, because if something's coming out of his mouth, then you should be listening. And if you're listening, that was a way to say, okay, well, what about this moment is coming to the forefront for you? And I thought it was an interesting way to ask it. Anyway, she was taking some ripping on Twitter, and I just felt like I wanted to have her back a little bit on that, because I thought it was just fine.
What would you drink out of the Stanley Cup?
Drink out of it?
Yeah, what would you drink out of it?
I thought you said, like, where would I take it?
Oh, that too. Yeah. Like, if CB and I filled up the Stanley Cup with Smoothie King, would that work for you? Does that get you going
that
a little bit?
That doesn't seem...
Just a big old straw with that all does, the smoothie... You're a big Smoothie King, no?
That seems a little... bloating. I don't feel like that's
okay.
Like, I don't know how many you can actually. Somebody's probably tested that, how many beers and stuff you can fit into the cup, which also makes it the greatest trophy in the history of sports, aside from the fact it's the only one and how old it is and you get your name on it and all that.
They clean that thing, I hope.
Well, they bring you along because you've got all the wipes.
I do have the wipes. So champagne, would that get it done for you? What would you want in there? What could I fill it up and you take a nice little swig out of that thing?
Yeah, it's, I mean.
Maybe I just load it up with ice cream and just sits next to you in the basement. You just have at it. Scoops of ice cream into that thing.
Let me think on this. You know, I don't want to commit to this because I only got one shot at it.
Nobody's holding.
I don't want to miss my chance. What are you thinking?
I think if we're partying, just load that thing up with. Maybe some transfusions.
Okay.
Or Moscow Mules.
Yeah, you're a big Mule guy.
You know, we could take it back to the college days with some jungle juice, which is always a dicey thing. When you get the jungle juice and you go into somebody's, like, frat party or something, you're like, and you, in college, you're not even thinking about it. But now that I think about it,
what is that, like Everclear and Punch?
It could be anything. Yeah. Like, back in the day. Like, you know, it could be absolutely anything. So the risk you take when you drink jungle juice going to a party is high. But when you're in college, you don't even care.
So maybe, I think ours was the Punch in Everclear. Yeah. That'll get you going real fast.
Yeah, the Four Locos, that was quite a time. I don't think you probably never had a Four Loco. Maybe you did.
I know the name.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
They were absolutely ridiculous. They'll have you bouncing off the wall.
Maybe the first thing that I ever had to drink I'd put in there.
Mad Dog 2020?
No, but that's interesting because my high school girlfriend's dad made up that phrase in advertising.
Really?
MD 2020, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first swig of alcohol I ever had.
I was a Little Kings guy.
Little Kings.
It was an ale, so it got you going a little faster.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, the guy that probably knows about Little Kings is Schlage's and Karp. Because I remember mentioning it to Karp once, and he knew about that original cream ale. And it's, I remember me and three friends from the neighborhood at Mooney Park, about two blocks from my house.
Okay.
Little Kings.
Okay.
Yeah.
I envision Schlage's drinking beer like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, he doesn't want to sip it. Like, he just wants to crack the can and just chug it out the top rope like Stone Cold. I would love to see Schlage's off some Little Kings. Sure, that's a good time. He doesn't even need it, but I would love to see him off of it.
I need to go back and see if, I assume they still exist. I mean, I haven't had them since way back then.
I think Mad Dog's still floating around.
That for sure, but the Little King, the little cream ale, they come in the little 8-pack.
Little cream, okay.
Says, a Little King's is back on shelves and back to its original recipe. Light on volume, but full of flavor. Our refreshing cream ale with subtle sweetness, crisp, tasty, infinitely pairable.
There we go.
At just 7 ounces. Little Kings is just enough to need another.
Young AR skiing in jeans with a mullet and drinking Little Kings,
that was
baby.
How about that line? Little Kings, just enough to need another.
Oh, you did.
That's a pretty good tagline.
Oh, man.
All right. We'll get to the college football talk, and we'll do it with our friend Pete Futek when we come back. CollegeFootballNews.com. Ohio State has it all and a lot more. How much is he leaning into the Buckeyes winning it all? We'll ask him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
Maddie, I think you got me now. I think I'm changing from pouring about 24 Little Kings into the Stanley Cup, little cream ale, to a peanut buster parfait. The biggest one you've ever seen.
Just a whole bunch of those
soft
things.
Serve.
Yeah, man.
And the hot fudge, little Spanish peanuts and whatever else.
Yeah, just right next to you on the couch, digging in.
Yeah, that would
I
be
I see
it.
The vision.
I don't know how, I mean, because we just got a tweet from David who said 17 beers can fit in the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Apparently.
Sounds like a party to
tested
me.
Tested it many times. Pete Futek is probably on the case on that as well. We'll ask him. CollegeFootballNews.com, the publisher. You win the cup, you get a chance to put whatever libation, food, drink, whatever you want in there and have an evening with it. What are you doing?
Yeah, not to ruin the bit, do you know how gross this all is? Like, how many diseases and things have been done with that cup? I mean, I'm here in Chicago.
That's very true.
I know stories. I know things. Mm. And I just the idea, in theory, yes, would I like to pour like 12 boxes of Lucky Charms and, you know, go for the whole milk to really make it Christmas and eat the biggest bowl of cereal ever? Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. But I know clubs and things and people that have taken this thing too. And just, But yes, you would have a whole lot of fun with it. But that would require me to remember how to skate, which I used to be able to do really well when I was a kid, and then try it again. I thought, oh, it's just like riding a bike. And like, nope, I was out there and can't skate anymore. So it'd be kind of tough for me to win a Stanley Cup at this point.
I think if you could get on skates and just be kind of do what they, you know, kind of the train tracks, just kind of go around, you know, you're not crossing over, you're not doing, you're not really pushing, you're just kind of, someone's kind of giving you a gentle nudge in the back and then just kind of float around the rink. I think you could do that.
Yeah, that goes with the always the fun, you know, off day sports conversation question. What's the hardest thing to do in sports? I say take the average guy on the street and say, go out there and like go and score on a NHL goalie. Go try. Just find some skates and go do that. Yeah, good. That's probably number one right up there with being a left tackle. But I digress.
I hear you. Pete, you know, some of the newer news around college football came out this weekend, and that, you know, came out of Norman, Oklahoma, and, you know, they're the people in charge there, some of the decision makers, hit Brent Venables with a new contract extension. Hit us with your thoughts on him as a head coach so far and their transition into the SEC.
I don't get why people do the new contract stuff. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, where are you going? Like, where's Brent? Like, who's clamoring for Brent Venables and say, oh, we got to lock him up now because we need to make sure, because the whole myth has always been that, oh, we need to lock up our coach for recruiting. We need to show some stability. That's gone. I mean, in the transfer portal era, the idea of, oh, we got to make sure the recruits come in. Nope. You got to make sure the transfers come in. So if you're Brent Venables and you stink and you go 8-4 or 7-5 this year in your first year in the SEC, well, you're not going to get the recruits coming in anyway. So I don't ever see all I see whenever I see that is some agent out there really earned his keep by getting some dumb athletic director to figure out, oh, well, we got to give this guy more money just because.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there. I didn't think of that yesterday as far as, because we thought, okay, if they want to get ahead of this, the narrative of you're going to the SEC, we want to recruit against the best, we want to not send the signal to recruits that maybe the guy is a hit or a miss, or could he be on the hot seat if he fails? Like, they want to feed into the narrative of, we got our guy, you should know we have stability here, he's the guy you want to play for. You're right, it probably was the timing.
Never works. Because if he loses three games, he's gone. So there's your stability. And even weirder now, think of the era we're in. You're better off giving the new recruits the money than give it to Brent Venables. because you could have any recruit and say, hey, come to Oklahoma, and they're going to be like, Alabama's going to pay me like $1 million more. Like, that's it. You know, that, if for, I mean, the whole myth of recruiting, again, it is, it's sort of, it seems like it should make sense. It just never does, because anytime you sign a coach to a contract extension, especially at a place like Oklahoma, he's a loss to Texas and two more losses away from being fired. So it's I've never ever get it. It's the biggest, weirdest thing in college sports, that sports business, and agents have somehow figured out how to turn that key on athletic directors over and over and over again.
Yeah. I actually said this to the guys last March Madness. When Ohio State was going through their coaching changes, I said, you know, if you asked Ohio State fan, you know, would they rather have a $1 million head coach and give the rest to the players, I think they would do it. Honestly, you could have a more of a middling head coach in college basketball and make sure you have the right starting five. But here we go. We'll see where it's headed. Let me ask you about Ohio State and the football. Where do you put the Ohio State-Oregon game as how much meaning that will have on the big picture?
All right. I know I'm a college football guy, and I know I'm close to really getting excited. Obviously, a monster game. In the big picture, only because now you can lose that. I mean, Ohio State's not going to lose three games. They're not going to lose twice. They might not lose at all because it's Ohio State, Georgia, and everyone else. But, like, okay, so you lose that game. You're probably playing a rematch in a Big Ten championship. And even if you don't, at worst, if Ohio State's Ohio State, they're fifth in the, you know, new college football playoff format. And, okay, so they host, you know, Liberty or Memphis and beat them 95-0 in Columbus on – you know, in December. So, and at best, you are, you know, top four. You get that first round bye, but it doesn't really matter that much. And in the weirdest way now going forward, you're almost better off in a strange sort of Notre Dame situation way of being 10-2 and getting this first round bye at home, because you get an extra week. I mean, you have to say everyone's going to have to play 13 games anyway. So if you're getting that first round bye, you get the, you know, you don't have to play that one game. Yeah, but you also don't have to play in the conference championship. So that means you get that extra, you get like 3 weeks off to rest. So at the end of the day, of course it's monster. Of course it's big. Of course if you're Ohio State, you want the number one overall this thing. But the other thing to remember is they don't reseed. So the number one, two, three, or four seed might not matter, and actually might be a detriment if there's an upset in the first round. So extremely long-winded way, because I'm doing everything possible to kill the fun of everything you're talking about today. Yes, it matters, and it's going to be an awesome game all the way around. It's not the same. We're going to have to kind of recalibrate what's really big and meaningful and what isn't going forward.
So Florida State last year was one of the most polarizing programs around the sport, had a really good regular season, and then unfortunately they couldn't get in because of the committee and the injury stuff that happened to them. But looking to this year, Mike Norvell, Florida State, was that a flash in the pan, or do you believe he's now a head coach that's building something legitimate?
Yeah, and it didn't get in because they didn't deserve it, but that's for another day. You have to remember, they didn't beat anybody last year. Look at their schedule. They had the opening week win over LSU, which was fine, but LSU didn't have a defense. Alabama torched them. I mean, it wasn't like they beat Ohio State or beat Georgia or anything like that. And then who else did they beat? You know, if Clemson did not get their kicker off the couch, which they literally did, to be their kind of walk-on for the game, and he doesn't miss that chip shot, they lose to Clemson. And all this stuff is kind of silly. And if they did get into the college football playoff, they would have been roasted. So we kind of have to recalibrate a little bit here. You know, okay, yes, Florida State was good. Their defense was amazing. They should have gotten into some sort of tournament, even though everything's lined against them, that they really didn't deserve it. But going forward, okay, you do have that game against Notre Dame on the road this year. You do have a couple of nasty games in the ACC, because it's going to be kind of an every-week grind. Same sort of thing. They're going to win the ACC championship probably, and they're going to be a top four seed no matter what now. So play your way in, but then once you're in, now you have to figure out what it's going to be in a 12-team format to see who cares. But team-wise, they need DJ Uiagalelei to be more consistent. He's coming in. He's been great in times, but his completion percentage isn't that great. Their defense is reloaded, and they are definitely the best team in the ACC going into the season.
All right, my man, good stuff. We'll clean and disinfect and sanitize that cup for you so you can get that big bowl of cereal you're looking for, because I like that idea.
We will have our own beers at some point, and I will discuss these stories that I know that I will not discuss on the air with you. Yeah.
All right, my man. Thanks, Pete. Take care.
There you
go. Yep, Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. He is the publisher. He's on the Brian Heating Coin Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I mean, I'm wondering, with all the sporting events he's covered, has he ever used a porta potty for like the full pit stop? Because if he has, then
when you gotta go, you gotta go.
I can't remember ever using one for that.
Yeah,
I know I have.
Oh, I have for sure.
But I just can't remember how it's absolutely not recent.
Yeah, I'm not. If I gotta go, I'm going. If there's a toilet, I don't care where it's at.
CB, what would Maddie? Because you're the guy. You're our lowest
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean. Yeah, you're that guy. CB, I Maddie has to drink or eat out of the Stanley Cup, or we throw him in a ball pit at the mall. Like that. There's got to be a lot of stuff in there, or you know,
yeah, little kids' diapers and
just all sorts of right
saliva.
So you get to eat out of the cup.
I would rather
in the ball pit.
I'd rather
at the mall.
Be thrown in the ball pit, okay, because now he has my mind going to places that I don't think it should
I
go.
Understand.
You know, with maybe some guys hanging out with their girlfriends or wives. With the, that's.
And you'll bring all your disinfecting
my wipes,
the Lysol wipes,
and a hazmat suit.
That may not
suit.
Be enough. All right, we come back. You know, let's keep going on Ohio State, because there is another analyst who weighed in that they have it all and more. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place.
Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey.
The Fan, Ohio sports destined.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
My friend Dave texted and said, I will score on a goalie. And I said, you'll fall on your ass shooting it. And he said, sir, born and raised in Buffalo,
okay,
skating by 7 years old. I wrote back, I did too. That's the first sport my brother and I ever played. We were skating probably even before 7.
Yeah.
And trying to fire a puck on skates now would be extremely difficult. And you would fall. Oh. You wouldn't get anything on it. Trust me.
My hand would be on the wall around the whole freaking rink. Like, there's no way I'm going out there and skating smoothly, which is probably why the Jackets keep ignoring my request to be Stinger for the day.
You'd be the get on the skates. We get him out there, and then just somebody gives him a shove, and then you just railroad track that thing around. Don't cross over, just glide.
Yeah, I don't know if
you could do that.
I grew up in the roller rink, you know, like you were out there, you know, on.
It's even better.
Was it Eastland? The Eastland roller rink over there? You know, that's a different style of skating. When you're out there on the ice with just the one blade, there's not a lot of wiggle room there.
What do you mean the one blade?
And then like one blade down the middle? Or am I mistaken in saying that? With the ice skate. That's what I'm talking about. On the ice. That type of.
Oh, you mean like rollerblades?
Yes, rollerblades to me. You got about more wiggle room.
I thought maybe it was way old school. It was like a roller skate.
I did grow up in the roller rinks, roller skate. Yeah. That was a thing.
Amazing.
Had some nice parties.
Are you kidding me? Those are the best.
Get the music banging. On Refugee Row, we used to be over there. I think it was called Eastland Skating Rink. I could be mistaken on that, but right off Refugee Row.
You used to reopen it, Matty.
I think it still might be open. One of my barber, actually, he's in like a little roller skating club where they do like the inline where they dance and all that stuff out there on the rink. I can't do any of that, but my skating in that realm of the skating world would be a lot better than putting me on the ice. You know.
I hear you, man. I'm telling you, people think it's, now, if you're equating like, and I'm glad Pete brought to the table that scoring on he said NHL goalie, I didn't put anything in there, put anybody in there.
No chance.
I do think if you said the average person trying to score on a professional goalie it would. It's not even a.
Forget
not
about
even
it.
A chance. Hitting a major league curveball would be as tough or more difficult. I think. Mm-hmm. I don't. Where would you rank? If I put the hitting a major league curveball,
it's I think it's nearly impossible for just the normal human to do it, like hitting a baseball. You know,
could you get lucky?
No.
If it breaks in the zone,
no.
Could you get lucky?
If you've never swung a baseball bat before, like even if you play, let's say in junior highs where it cut off for you, you're not hitting, you know, a Shane Bieber curveball. It's just not happening. Like, they can tell you it's coming. Like, you see some of the best athletes from other sports, right? Like, basketball players, when they go, like, throw a first pitch and they get in the cage, they look like a baby deer, like, learning how to walk swinging a baseball bat. Like, I think it's one of the hardest things to do is to hit a baseball, even when you play. Because you got to think, the best to ever play, they fail 7 out of 10 times. And they're the best. Like, us normal humans, it's not happening.
No, you'd have to set it up where... It wouldn't be some sort of, you know, it would have to be somewhere in like the low 70s, and you'd have to know it was going to break right into the zone, and then maybe you could get lucky and get bat on ball. Maybe.
You're saying foul just, tip. Are you counting? I was going to ask. You're counting a foul
no,
tip?
No, I don't think you.
In play.
It's got to be in
I got
play.
You.
I think you could do that versus trying to score on a professional goalie.
I don't know. I think they're both up there with nearly impossible feats to do or accomplish. But baseball for me, you stand in a box with these dudes now, it's stupid.
I mean, you see people out there not even on skates trying to score on a goalie-less goal, and they can't
that's what
do
I'm
it.
Saying.
Right. That's amazing.
No chance. CB was saying somebody recognized the beer you were talking about. I think you got a little love on your little Kangs. Little Kangs.
Somebody knows Little Kings?
Yeah, real quick, because it just came in, I saw Jared let us know that maybe it's a new name from what you're used to with that skate park, but it's called United Skates on Refugee.
Thank you, Jared. That's why it probably always was that. I'm thinking by Eastland Mall, so maybe that's why I just equated the two.
Why do you open up your own little skating rink and just, you could compete with the Ice House, and that would be yours.
You know what, and we can sell some little Kangs, too.
That's right.
Original cream. I was going to say, and Barry and a bunch of others have mentioned Little Kings in there, but Barry specifically said that it was his first alcoholic drink he ever had.
There we go. Get it popping, Barry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not encouraging this because it's pretty strong out of the gate, like if that's your first one. I mean, I don't know what the alcohol content, the volume is. I'd have to check that, but I think the real tease is the fact it's a little 7-ounce bottle. And so
packs a punch, though, is what you're saying.
Their tagline, they're small enough to need another. Not really. Like, it's amazing. Okay, making a hole-in-one in golf is the toughest. Okay, that's not true. Because I could take 10,000 shots at a goalie and not score. And I'm not saying, maybe it's equal.
The hole-in-one, I think... That's a pretty
good comment.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not.
Is that Mad Max winning?
No, that's Davey Mack.
Oh, what up, Davey Mack?
Yeah. We're going to have to rank these this summer.
We got time.
Yeah.
Not that much time. Football's two seasons
okay,
two months away, baby.
Earlier in the show, you said it was a... You didn't say. You said,
here we
it's
go.
A couple of months. You can start new shows.
2 months.
Did you hear him, though? He was much more casual about it at the beginning. He was like,
but the
you
reason
can start-
why he's saying it is because we're seeing the advertisements or the promos for Big Brother coming up.
Talk about it.
Is that your little brother?
Talk about it, CB.
Good-looking kid.
Round the corner, AR. Your weekends are gone, baby.
That's the first time you've put it that way. Like, you really illustrated it. And it's not that the weekends are gone. I love football.
Yeah.
But there's two bye weeks this year. That does help.
Oh,
that's right. All right. Putting in for vacation right now. I usually don't like taking vacation during football. And I don't even like taking off during the bye week because there's still NFL. There's still college games.
Fantasy.
It's a lot of fantasy. But... Just as maybe just a stick back, maybe I do it this time.
You didn't like that line, huh? Weekends are gone, baby.
That one's troubling. Why don't you just add to it, and it's going to get really cold. Yes, eventually it will. All right, we'll take a Sports Center update here, top of the hour. And since we screwed around enough, we got to make up for some things in the second hour. So we'll have, oh, by the way, we do have a new master of deflection. And I think that's exactly what it is.
Oh.
You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got two words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program. I think maybe, I know we talk football all year long, and we should. We love it. We talk fantasy. We do everything. But I feel like the first time that I allow my mind to be really covering it and really diving into all of it is right after July 4th. I think that's my cutoff.
Okay.
I think I've created an official now, because that is the, that's the epicenter of the summer. That's it for us.
Yeah.
And I think then you're on the other side.
So ironically, you're actually starting football season in your mind sooner than what I want you to. Because
I was about to say, I think he's been moving it up as you brought this to his attention.
Because Big Brother doesn't start until July 17th, and you know.
Well, then let's do that.
Okay, see, he likes that. Kick the can down the road a little bit more, CB.
Let's do that. I love that when Affleck at the end of The Town says, you know, I'll see you on this side or the other. I love that line. And so that's it. I'll talk football on this side, but mostly the other.
You know what movie I watched the other day that was sneaky good that I wanted to ask you about? Have you ever
Soul
seen
Soul Plane?
Well, that always went, right? Like that is always a hit right there. But did Smoke and Aces ever do anything for you? Good cast. Really good cast in Smoke and Aces.
Ryan Reynolds?
Yes. Yes, he's an FBI agent. Like it's a good cast. I was curious if you had anything on Smoke and Aces.
I don't.
Okay.
But I'd love to go back. I don't think, if I've seen it, I've seen it once, and I don't even know if I've seen it all.
Yeah. It's a good movie. Good movie.
What was that on?
What was that on? Stars.
Okay.
I got Stars at the house.
Nice. I thought you were just not, I'm very proud.
No, but
can
it's
I drive a
very proud of you. That's very nice.
He's got Stars.
But you got Affleck in that thing.
Yep.
Jeremy Piven's in it. So it's a nice little cast there.
I saw the J.J. Redick opening introductory press conference.
How'd you like it?
Now, there? I'm going to tell you, you're either going to look at this one of two ways. You're either going to think, you're either going to get accused of being, oh, lighten up, you know, and all that.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly.
Yelling at clouds.
Right. Or you can be one of, like, there's a time and place. You're not on a podcast anymore. You're being introduced in a suit and a tie and a pocket square.
I think I know what side you're on. I think I know what side you're on.
No, and it's not a big deal. It's not going to stay with us. It's not that. It's just, you kind of wonder, is he unapologetically authentic, which that would be great, or was he deflecting the most important narrative of this hire, which is his lack of coaching experience, and he got the Lakers job. Now, think about that for a second. Great player, knows the game, and by the way, that can be your answer. I know the game. I've been around these guys enough.
I went to Duke. Like, I'm smart.
Exactly. He could play that. That's all I'm saying is that you pick one side. Either he deflected from the most important question around, which is how can you explain to the fans of this organization that you are the right guy for the job when you've coached no higher than fourth graders? Or is he just completely real? And that I'm going to shut out the noise. I know that that's there, and I don't and you'll hear it. Yeah. And so his introductory press conference had a lot of shock value to it. And here it is.
I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a like, honestly. I want to coach the Lakers. I want to coach the team. I don't want to dispel anything. I don't. I want to become a great coach in the NBA, and I want to win championships, and I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I f-ing care about.
So he doubled down on it. It
was F-bombs in there.
And it all it to me is, and it's great, and I know that this era, this generation, this whatever, they're going to love it. This is not shock value to people that are online all the time or listen to, like, we run into situations where we talk to people who do Sirius XM and they do our radio and how they oscillate back and forth without swearing because they can do it there, but not here and all that to me is interesting. But he got a 4-year contract to become the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, and Rob Pelinka is there introducing him and walk to people in the organization, and they're all buttoned up. And he felt the need to go full F-bomb like he's in a locker room. I found it very
odd. Yeah, it's odd, especially the right out of the gate introductory press conference. If this is, you know, a few months in and you're comfortable with certain media members or just more comfortable on the job, I guess I can understand it. It doesn't bother me too much, but I can
completely... Was it intentional?
I think so.
Or was it off the cuff?
I think it was... An interesting question. Was it intentional or was it off the cuff?
Was he hoping he'd be asked about dispelling the haters?
I think he knew that was coming, right? If you're JJ, you have to know that that's coming when you go into a situation like this, just because you know your own resume in the coaching world, which is absolutely nothing. I'll give him this. I don't think he's being fake in that moment because I've seen him on TV. You've seen him on TV. When he first came on TV, he was a spicy guy. He was getting after Stephen A. Smith. So I do think he does have that in him. I think he's being true to who he is. Yeah. But on the other side of this situation, there's people that are, as you were alluding to, that are going to label that unprofessional. And whether he cares about that or not, he may not. And this may be who he's going to be as a coach. I know that in the history of sports, we've romanticized head coaches that are like that. Right or wrong.
Absolutely.
Bob Knight, and this is one of those guys that come to mind. Like, these guys are folklore's figures in the history of coaching.
Torts.
I mean, Bill Belichick to a certain degree. Greg Popovich. These guys that get a real prickly with the media. Somehow, some way, they carve out this lane of people enjoying that. So, we just got to wait and see what JJ is going to be all about as he goes about this. Because, as you mentioned, the brand that he now has to represent as the head coach is one of the biggest brands in the entire world of sports. And the pressure that's going to be on him right away, with some people having championship expectations for them because of who their two superstars are, how are you going to handle that now? He's been a guy that, not only will he give you some of the stuff that you just heard, but he'll chirp on Twitter and all that. I'm interested to see, AR, does he funnel some of that noise out? He said he's not going to do the podcast stuff, but he's a guy that has an edge to him. And sometimes when you're a coach, that can work for you or can work against you.
Yeah. I'm not here to tell you that I wasn't intrigued by it. I was. I'm not here to tell you that it was absolutely ridiculous and you can't wait to just slap it down and make him look like a fool. No. I think he's been honest. That's why I do feel like the deflection of it, though, is interesting to me, because that is the number one narrative about him. And, you know, the guy that they wanted to hire was a 2-time national champion in college.
Just crazy when that came out.
Okay, the guy they wanted to hire was, you know, maybe the number one get out of college basketball. And so they went to a guy who has coached third and fourth grade.
Let me ask you this.
Played at a high level.
Very high level.
And he talks to a lot of people and he watches the game. And I agree with you. I think he's very smart. And I think he's direct. And I think players like that. Mm-hmm. And they'll enjoy that. Because the other narrative that he has to knock down is that he and LeBron are going to good cop, bad cop this thing somehow. And that somehow the coach on the floor and the coach on the sideline are in lockstep, and you do this, and I'll say this, and they're almost kind of comboing it up.
That will definitely be interesting to see how that unfolds, because life's pretty good, right, where you can just hop behind a microphone and drink a glass of wine together and break down plays, but in the heat of the moment, what is that relationship going to look like? I think they're off to a good start because of that being the roots of their relationship. And clearly those guys like each other. But when you're the head coach, you become more of an authority figure. And can J.J. Redick be that type of guy, or what type of coach does he want to be when it comes to discipline? Hey, I want to ask you this, because when you use the word deflection, when it came to his answer, did you want him to be more direct about not being a head coach? Is that what you mean?
I wanted him to answer, like, the big narrative is the lack of experience and his relationship with LeBron.
Yeah.
And that it superseded them. Now, it wasn't like there were 10 guys lined up to take that job or whatever. I don't know how long their list was and who was available, but when Hurley turned it down, and that was for personal reasons too, even though he said, well, of course there's a number that wouldn't have been realistic. Yeah, if they would have offered me $20 million a year, I wouldn't have turned it down, probably. I would have said to my wife, let's go do this for 5 years and then see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I like him. I think he is authentic. But you can also be authentic and not deflect the number one question on the table, which is, why are you the right guy for this job when you've never done it? And I think that he could have said, I know the game. I've been around it enough. I've seen enough. I've talked to enough. I've analyzed it enough. Yeah. Am I going to be? And by the way, he has said some of this, that he knows he's going to make mistakes.
He made a joke about it, I think at the beginning, like, hey, just to let you guys know, I've never coached in the NBA. So he's aware of his surroundings, but he's also aware, I'm sure, internally and behind closed doors that, this is an uphill climb.
You kind of wonder, when they get behind the curtain, does Pelinka say, well, that was interesting?
No, I don't think so.
Or does he say, I love that? Like, I'm wondering where they are.
Who knows? Yeah. Pelinka was Kobe's agent, so he saw some edgy things come from Kobe, so I wouldn't be surprised if he did like a little bit of that. But I think you just, at that point in time, you just let your head coach be your head coach.
Let me ask you this. The other narrative that's out there that he, quote, doesn't give a you-know-what about is that LeBron handpicked him.
Listen, a lot of the reporting is that AD had a say in this. LeBron obviously had some say in this. There's no way that Rob Pelinka didn't pick up the phone and at least ask LeBron, how do you feel about JJ?
You mean LeGM?
Yeah, LeGM. LeGM definitely had some type of say in this. And look, that happens all the time in every sport. You're big stars, you're going to bring them in the loop.
Sure.
And at least get their feel on a guy. But yeah, I think we'd all be a little naive to think that based off what we've seen from JJ and LeBron alone doing a podcast together, that LeBron isn't pretty comfortable with JJ.
Do you believe Redick when he said that LeBron and I didn't talk about the job?
No.
Of course.
Hell
not.
No. Right. I think when the microphone cut off, AR, those guys are, hey, we're drawing up plays. Hey, when we play Oklahoma City, like, this
no
is what
way
we're going to
talk about what it might be like.
Of course. Of course they talked about it, AR. Like, and that was, even let's say, even if they didn't, we take him for his word. LeBron kind of running him through the ringer of evaluating how he looks at basketball, talking JJ, was the test run. And LeBron's going back to 80 and Rob Pelinka said, oh, yeah, but let's bring him in. But of course they talked about it.
Listen, I'll come back to the very beginning. I like it. I like the fact that he's like, I know what the noise is on all that stuff. And this is me. And if I spend more time thinking about that and trying to prove people wrong, I'll take my eye off the prize.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, He is now considered a professional broadcaster because he's done it. I feel like he either could have articulated it more professionally or do what he did, which is be authentic to himself and say what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
It was new. I don't know if I'd call it refreshing, but it was definitely unique.
No doubt.
And he's a unique hire, so why not lean into that? Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of where we are. All right. Maddie up next. We got the top dogs in the coach quarterback combo. Who are they? We'll rank them next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only radio show Ryan Day listens to when we're holding him hostage, making him listen to a radio show. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
Maddie, this may be the reason that I'm not diving back into the Game of Thrones spinoff.
What happened?
There's another one. Another one.
Shout out to DJ Khaled. I love that you did the DJ Khaled.
A Night of the Seven Kingdoms is set to debut in 2025. So another Game of Thrones spinoff has begun filming.
We're winning. The more the merrier. You got time to catch up. Yes, we're winning. I couldn't get enough. I'm so invested again. Now that we're back into Westeros, like I'm watching all the YouTube breakdowns and I'm reading all the articles and I'm back. Like that, the vibes are back of when Sunday night at 9 o'clock rolls around and you start to hear that dun, 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 dun. I'm like, it's goosebumps for your boy. Goosebumps.
Let me read you a comment under the story that they're going to start filming yet another spinoff.
Yeah, what we got?
This is finish the books, old man.
Come on. Chill out on my boy George. George, chill out. He's an old man, okay?
Forget the filming. Finish the books, old man.
That's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what runs through someone's head. I wonder what his net worth is right now.
Oh, I can't.
George R.R. Martin. Where are we at with him? Big George.
I don't know.
Let me see what I can cook.
I think he can afford a new white T-shirt or whatever he's wearing under that vest.
Yeah, he's not a big fashionable guy. I got $120 million, according to...
That's it.
Google. Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised by that. It's good living, though. I mean, we'd all take it. But he isn't messing around with who's the guy that made Star Wars? Who's that guy? Creator?
Yeah, Lucas.
Yeah, George Lucas. Yeah. His network. I don't even. What is that? What's Big George? Another George. Two Georges just making iconic.
Georgie boy.
George Lucas net worth. Oh, God. Give me your guess, CB. If you haven't looked, do you see it?
No, what'd he do? Make a lot on those lunch boxes?
Oh my goodness. George Lucas, this is crazy. $5.3
billion? Oh my God. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, good for you, George. Two Georges just bringing in the cash, baby.
Man, that is awesome.
I don't think I would have guessed that. If you asked me that, I don't think I would have been in the billions, let alone five.
And he's given so much to charity too. Like he has so much he doesn't know what
to
do.
Yeah, you can't do anything with it. Like I like to watch Selling Sunset and I see like some of these homes that are like $20 to $50 million. That's nothing for him. Nothing. One of the episodes in Selling Sunset, this one guy was selling like a $40 million home and he told the girls like if you sell the house, the garage underneath it held like 20 cars. And down there, you would have loved this. It was like, you know, Aston Martin and Bentleys and Lamborghini. He said, you sell the house. Not only do you get the commission was like $1.5 million or almost $2 million, but pick whatever car you want. And you can take it.
Well, and that's almost as good. See, now I would pick that. I know what you would pick.
What?
Because when I was home this past week, I thought to myself, should I go buy Jordan's house?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not far and it's never sold unless it's sold recently. And I don't know about this, but when he put up his mansion and it was, I don't know, probably double what it is now. So the original asking price, I think was 30 mil and he tried everything. He lowered the price. He lowered it down to 14 million. I think he cut it in half, but he also offered to anybody that bought it, all of the Jordans that he had in the house.
Okay, so here's my only issue with that. Is he telling me that if I buy the crib, he's going to get my shoe size?
No.
And the shoes he has.
I don't think so.
That's not as attractive to me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want his, you know, his bunions.
What do you mean?
Remainder of his bunions.
I don't even know if these were game used or not. I think they may have just been a pair for everyone that came out. I'm not positive. I'll have to look into that.
If you could remix it for me and told me you can fill them up with 11 and a half, maybe on to something. But the deal on Selling Sunset sounds a lot better than me. Like, give me.
See, I thought for you, this would be easily
better. I got
a
lot of J's, though, already.
Oh.
You know that.
Wow.
Very proud of you. That's very nice.
Thank you.
The reason this home has been on the market for over a decade is because it's too personalized to MJ himself.
You know who should buy it and just redo everything?
His name is all over the house. His kids' names are on the basketball court. Well, we can get that off.
You know who I want to get petty and just remake everything is Scottie Pippen. Just remake it, Scottie. Because, you know, they don't like each other. Scottie doesn't like
Scottie has that kind of coin.
No?
I don't think so. Hasn't he had
Scotty some can't buy the crib?
Well, he never got the deal. Well, he's notoriously a horrible tipper, right?
Oh, I don't know. And this so is new Tiger. To me.
Like, these, that's terrible, by the way. And listen, everyone's definition of a horrible tipper for a guy, like, what do you expect? Like, some of these people probably expect, oh, if Michael Jordan came to dinner, I should be getting $1,000
tip. That's what I expect.
Oh, that's not realistic.
Really? Like, the guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You can't leave me a grand? Come on. Like, that's nothing for Michael Jordan.
So if he goes out, every time he goes out to dinner, he has to leave a grand?
Yes. If George Lucas.
I mean, it'd be a great legacy to have.
It would.
If you knew that you were
going to. Chad Ochocinco's a big, he's big on that too. Like, Chad Ochocinco, he'll put it on Twitter. Like, if he goes to, I don't know, like, pick, I don't know, Denny's or something.
Well, don't do that either then. Just do it.
No, but I don't mind it if you showcase it, as long as you continue to do it. And he's done it for years. It's not like a one-off. But if Michael Jordan, if I'm working at a steakhouse, and Michael Jordan comes in. If he comes in there.
You ought to have, doing some pro league.
And he orders some.
Mess up my game.
Filet mignon. What is that from?
We can't have that, Billy Hoyle.
Is that? It's not Hoosiers, is it? No, what is that?
I can't believe you're not getting this.
It's not Space Jam.
Nope. You should play some pro league. Can't mess up my game, and we can't have that.
Is this Ray Allen and Denzel?
Nope.
Oh, what? He got game? That's not he got game?
Nope.
What is that?
White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, God.
The best.
That's a miss by me.
The best first 20 minutes in any movie.
Who's the female actress in that?
Rosie Perez.
She's in Your Honor. Yeah, she pops up in Your Honor. But real quick, if I'm serving at a steakhouse and Michael Jordan comes in and orders some lobster mac and filet mignon, like, I would be disappointed if it's not at minimum $500.
I mean, if it's a big party and he's not alone, he's not with just one other person. And yeah, they should tip fairly big if they're there a couple hours. According to the Miami New Times, which mentioned Tiger Woods is still number one at being a bad tipper.
That's ridiculous. Come on, Eldrick.
He once took back a $5 tip off a blackjack table while playing a $10,000 hand. The reason? He realized he had already tipped the dealer.
Tough look, Tiger.
The rest, of course, none of this or the rest of the list that includes Madonna, LeBron, some others on the list.
Oh, man. See, the bad part is now in the world that we live in, if you're a celebrity and we know that you're worth a nice amount of money, like, somebody puts that on social media and it goes viral and it's attached to you for a while.
The way out of that for the celeb, I guess, is for whoever they're with, for the celeb not to be paying that night. Like, it wasn't my deal. I was just there. Buy dinner. That's probably worse.
Isn't that a tough look?
But the fact remains, like, so this person has to buy every single time? I guess I would think.
Yeah. When you're worth that money, I think you should pay for all the homies, and then you tip everybody handsomely.
Yeah.
You know,
but I still don't know if Scotty has the coin to buy Mike's $14 million.
It's a good question.
I really don't think he does.
Dang, he's living good.
I'm not positive on that, but don't you think, like,
it feels
during
like
the last dance, it was all about?
Yeah, it feels like you're on the right side.
He kind of burned through that deal. Maybe took a bad contract because he wanted the money.
Maybe he can ask Larsa and Michael's son for some money. Are they still together?
I was about to say, I thought they broke up after filming the TV series Traitors.
That's just the whole
Jordan's kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with him. So. I don't think they're done.
Okay.
Because didn't I just see some recently last week where he's like, I'm single? Like,
sliding these DMs, baby.
I'm positive on
that. DMs are open again.
All right, we got to get back to something here. Cavs, the odds of signing and extending their star, where is that? We'll ask Evan Dammerill next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, we got an NBA draft this week. We've got the Cavs offseason to handle with our friend Evan Damerill at Down Euclid. And he is with us on the Brian Heating Coin Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Ev, good to have you back.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Good. Let me get your opinion, first of all, on the optimism surrounding the Donovan Mitchell extension talks. Where are you percentage-wise in your optimism?
I mean, anything can happen, but I feel like it's a 95% chance. That 5% is just, you know, that saving grace for anything that can happen if, you know, something goes sideways. But it feels more and more likely that the Cavs are going to get the, probably, I would argue, that the second most important free agent decision they've ever had, besides LeBron, to re-up with them. And, you know, big win for Kobe Altman and his staff. I think it's just they've really gone above and beyond to make Donovan Mitchell feel like this is his team and he can really actually be put in a position to win championships. And now I think he's going to put pen to paper and really commit to the idea of staying in Cleveland long term. I think something no one really saw coming when he first came here, just because New York was always on that horizon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that'd be a big win for sure. Stating the obvious there with bringing Spider Mitchell back. Let's get your thoughts on the new head coach, JB Bickerstaff out, Kenny Atkinson in. Do you like the move here?
Yeah, I do. I think if you're looking at comparisons, the only way it can be a worse hire than JB, or a worse coaching job than what JB performed. And I think JB did fine, all things considered, just wins wise. But if the Cavs dramatically regress offensively under Atkinson, which is, you know, would be stunning just because they were a pretty average offensive team just given their schemes and game planning. But when looking at Kenny Atkinson's body of work, he does have a successful stint in Brooklyn. I'm sure if you look at the record, it doesn't draw much inspiration. But if you just look at how the Nets kind of outperformed their expectations and maybe played better than actually given the personnel they had, I think that's kind of encouraging in of itself. But the way Atkinson's offensive system operates kind of goes hand in glove with how the Cavs are playing their best basketball last season. It's a lot of pace. It's a lot of space. It's a lot of three-point shooting. Players are quite often, I don't want to say chastised or, you know, called, maybe they're called out during film session and things like that by Atkinson. It's been on record that he wants guys taking threes. He doesn't want them passing up the wide open three-pointers. He's willing to live with a missed three just because he wants it to become part of a player's offensive repertoire if, you know, that's something that they're capable of. And I think the player you think of most of that is Evan Mobley, a guy who definitely seemed like he stagnated a little bit in his third year in terms of just where he's at offensively. And I think Atkinson will be a little bit of a saving grace just for Mobley's development in terms of just his offensive game. And I think the fact that the Cavs are already so rock solid defensively, this could give them a nice shot in the arm, just in terms of how they perform. And just based on Kenny's recent stops, he was the guy who schemed up the Clippers offense for the first year Kawhi and Paul George were healthy. And then he's been running the show offensively for the Warriors for quite a while now. I think that's just really encouraging in of itself. And I think he has played a huge part in why Golden State is now considering all their players under 25 untouchable in trade talks, despite the fact that they're such an old team. And I think that's just, I keep saying encouraging, but I think this is a smart hire. It's the logical hire. I know some fans have their quibbles between him or James Borrego, but when you look at the grand scope of where the Cavs are at, I don't think they could have, they could have afforded to take the chance on a first-time head coach. They had to be really, really sure that this first-time head coach is the guy that can level up their opportunities offensively and also just level up their opportunities tactically to get them closer to that championship window and help them level up and build past what they've accomplished this season, which was going down to the eventual champion Celtics in five games. But how can he be better than last year? And I think Atkinson is a step in that right direction. And then we'll see what happens with Wednesday's draft, just because the Cavs have the 20th pick. And I think Atkinson's hire now plays a part in that.
Before we hit that, I'll kind of dive into a little more of what you're saying. So you feel like this hire was necessary. There was a lot of rumors that Bickerstaff had kind of lost the room before he got booted, and that they kind of tuned him out. They were questioning his strategies. Did you buy that?
Yeah, actually, I know for a fact there were some players that were frustrated behind the scenes with JB. I think testament to that locker room, and I think those guys, they're willing to ride with him and roll with him when the team seemed at their lowest point when they lost Mobley and Garland, and they responded by winning 20-something games in a row, and I think that's, you know, incredible. But I think players are just frustrated with inconsistent minutes or inconsistent offensive schemes. I know the game they played against Chicago where they go into double overtime, but Bickerstaff shortened his rotation from 9 players to 6 players for the entire second half in both overtime periods, running Donovan Mitchell into the ground, which could have played a part in his injury. But I think guys are starting to tune him out a little bit, and I think guys are just kind of getting frustrated. And I think the best way to look at it is maybe they needed a new voice, they need a new perspective. And I've always maintained the stance that Bickerstaff is a good coach to get them to this point. I think he did play a part in developing some of these guys defensively and just putting them in a position to succeed. But I think this team also did get a little bit better sooner than expected. I think you're seeing that with maybe Bickerstaff's failures as a coach, or maybe some of the players like Isaac Okoro or Evan Mobley kind of maybe not hitting their expected ceiling at some points in the season, or just maybe, you know, their ceiling is much lower than what we expected. And you have to maybe just bring in a new voice with new perspective and experience. And I guess if you want to get real technical with it, Atkinson does have a championship ring under his belt with the Warriors, and he was a part of scheming up the offense in that run back in 2022 or 2021, I want to say. So I think it's just, you needed the fresh voice. As you said, I think guys were getting frustrated with just inconsistent roles, or maybe not clarity on their minutes, and maybe not clear understandings on why or why not they're maybe being pulled or benched. And it has a little bit of a domino or a snowball effect. And eventually you just realize, like, okay, it's time to hit reset and maybe figure out that we need a new voice and new perspective. It's not the first time the Cavs have done it. It happened well when they did it with Ty Lue. I think it did happen better when they said goodbye to John Boeheim and put Bickerstaff in, and now they just kind of need a guy who can take them to that next level, and I think that's just something that JB wasn't capable of doing with this team.
Evan, one thing that's really been stuck in my brain this all season, you know, I'm sure you saw the wave that of reports that came out after the season was over with, you know, maybe some guys were unhappy with Jared Allen, but one of the things that really has been in my brain a lot is the Darius Garland report that said that if Donovan Mitchell does return to Cleveland, Darius Garland may want out. What's your understanding of that report, and do you think Darius Garland will be a part of the Cavs in 2024 and 2025?
So I think that's a fair question. I know Kobe Altman went on the record soon after saying that they have no intentions of blowing up what they built. He used the Denver Nuggets, who took a while to build this championship core. They could have blown it up and fired Mike Malone, and they shifted a few things and they figured it out. Or what the Bucks have done with Giannis and Chris Middleton, and I think you're seeing the end of those life cycles for those teams. But Altman thinks, and based on his conversations with the team, thinks that they're right there, they're right on the edge of being a championship caliber team. And yeah, that makes sense, and I think that's a good way to save face if you're Cleveland. But yeah, the Cavs have said they have no intention of trading Garland. I think we'll just use him as an example, or Allen too, but we'll talk about Garland here. But no one has ever come back and said, like, Darius doesn't want to be traded based on a head coaching change, or, oh, there's been a change of heart. And I think it's something I've heard for a while. I know it's a lot of now I tell us reporting, but I think it's just something you really want to make sure you're 100% certain on. But I kind of gathered, like, Darius is, he doesn't dislike Donovan personally. I think they are good friends. I think they do work together well on the court. But as Rich Paul alluded to in his interview with Chris Haynes, like, clutch clients, and Rich Paul is very much an older brother to Darius, and Darius has really taken a shine to him. But Rich said it's not about the upcoming season. It's about 4 years from now, too. How can we maximize our earnings and opportunities, which means all-star appearances, all NBA appearances? And maybe in Darius's eyes or Darius's camp's eyes, it's going to be harder to accomplish that when you're sharing the floor with Donovan Mitchell, just because Darius obviously had to make sacrifices to make Mitchell feel comfortable, and vice versa, Mitchell had to do the same. But I think maybe the limitations of this partnership are kind of hitting ahead a little bit, and I am very curious to see what the fallout will be. But I told friends, colleagues, both personally and across the league, like, I won't be surprised when the trade request comes down from high. I do wonder if the Cavs entertain it, just because when you look at the teams, like the teams I know that are interested in Garland, because the preference would be to go to stay in the East. It'd be like the Brooklyn Nets. It'd be the Orlando Magic. I think you look at like the Miami Heat. I think they'll always be in that conversation too. The Washington Wizards as well. And if you're Cleveland, if you entertain a possible trade, you have to make sure you're getting star-level or all-star equivalent talent back for Garland. And I just think you have to really finesse like a 3 or 4 team trade in order to do that. And that's where it gets kind of muddy and a little bit yucky. And that's where you kind of have to have those uncomfortable conversations. But we'll see. Would I be surprised if he asks for a trade? No. Would I also be surprised if maybe a change in coaching, where Atkinson does have experience coaching ball dominant guards? Like, he has coached Steph Curry up. He's coached up D'Angelo Russell when Russell was an all-star. He also has experience with a Kyrie, Harden, and Durant, but he stepped away soon after that. But either way, maybe a coaching change is kind of the balm for this situation, but it could be worth some keeping an eye on, just because, like, if the Cavs don't want to talk shop or maybe entertain trading Garland, like, Clutch is known to escalate things and kind of make things uncomfortable in the organization, however possible, and they'll do whatever is right by their client. So it's going to be a fluid and mercurial situation, but I think we'll just kind of have to see what happens. Once Donovan puts pen to paper, you wait for the other shoe to drop, and if it doesn't drop, fine. Yeah, Garland will be back in camp this fall, but if it does, will he be back in camp? We'll see. It just depends on what the market conveys for Garland. I think a lot of teams will be signing up to trade for him, but are the Cavs going to be thrilled with those offers? I don't know. He's making a lot of money, so you're going to have to be kind of really piecing and puzzling together some trades in order to kind of make it palatable for everyone.
Yeah, no, good stuff. I agree with a lot of that. It's a $200 million guy. You know, you're going to play an unhappy guy, or you're going to, who knows what's going to happen, but you're right. We got to wait for that. The coaching change came first. Maybe that'll quiet it down, and then we'll see what happens with Donovan. All right, my man. Great stuff, as always. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you. Take care, guys.
Yep, Evan Damerill, right down Euclid here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We come back with a Buckeye Bulletin. An OSU recruit stays home. Details next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you're starting your day any other way, you're doing it wrong. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown.
For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, a little Buckeye Bulletin time. And congrats to Jay Cook out of Westville North, staying home. Commits to Ohio State. That's the boom for the 2025er that came through recently. And he really re-sculpted himself. I read on 11 Warriors, he had dropped about 40 pounds.
Okay.
And got going. And I guess he started going through crazy workouts. And the offers weren't coming. And he was getting a little down on himself. And it changed when Justin Fry gave him a call right before Father's Day and asked what he was doing. And he was just kind of... said he was just chilling. He had just gotten done golfing. He asked him, you know, Fry asked him what he did for his dad for Father's
Day.
What
did he have for lunch that day? We got all these details.
Told him I still needed to go get my dad something for Father's Day. And he said, and it's a great line by Justin Fry. And it's one of it's, you know, of all the recruiting stories you hear, it's pretty good. Now, if a coach from Ohio State calls you, you kind of know what might be happening here. So it's not a complete blindside, but he said, how about for Father's Day, since you didn't buy him anything yet, you take him to Ohio State on an official visit next week and announce your commitment while we're at dinner?
That'll work.
It's a pretty good line.
That'll work.
I was like, what? He said, yeah, man, you got an offer from to Ohio State now.
That's cool. That's awesome, yeah. Right? Congrats to Jake and his family. I'm going to assume growing up here in Columbus, you know, Buckeyes are very high up on his list, if not his dream school. So to see that come to fruition is awesome. You're always happy for these guys that get to check that box. And you mentioned his journey and getting his body right and all those things like that. That's awesome to see. So congrats to him. And, you know, this coaching staff's absolutely going crazy right now on the recruiting trail, specifically with this 2025 class, because it is looking good.
Yeah, played left tackle in high school past couple of years, played left guard his freshman year. He'll come in as a center at Ohio State, but he plans on being pretty versatile on that offensive line for Westville North. So 6'5", almost 300 pounds.
There you go.
Right here locally. And so you get a Jake Cook commitment. We talked about this Ohio State roster and how it's absolutely loaded. All the chips are in the middle. Everyone's saying so. And it seems like every day there's another somebody that's just one-upping it. And just saying, like, almost hand him the title. Set this. This is Josh Pate. Is that right,
this is
CB?
Josh Pate.
All right, now give me his credentials again.
Yeah, he hosts Late Kick, the
YouTube show for 24/7 Sports. And he was discussing Ohio State, the discussion, and we've played that cut before, the Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel, talking about the best roster in college football. He brings it up, and then he decides if that's true.
Does Ohio State really have the best roster in the sport? I didn't say the best team, because a lot more goes into making up a great team than just having a lot of talent. Although, if you don't have a lot of talent, chances are you've put a very low ceiling on how good your team can be. The reason I'm asking this is because there's been a lot of talk long before Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel spoke up, but Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel have both won national championships as head coaches at Ohio State. So when they spoke up recently and said what we're about to play for you, it raised a lot of eyebrows. Roll it, Colin.
But as of now, this is one of the most talented rosters in the last decade, maybe ever. I mean, that's a big statement. They got to play, but you look at the quality of athlete at every position, I've never seen anything like it.
And I don't know if I've ever seen that many great players in that building all at once. Every position, every place you turned. And so Ryan's done a great job. Ohio State has done a great job.
And I've been up there this spring, and they're not wrong. They're not wrong. I've been at Georgia. I've been at Texas. I've been at Bama. Like, I've been at the places you would call having the most premier rosters in the sport. There is no place that surpasses what Ryan Day's got on his hands in Columbus, Ohio. Now, notice what I'm not saying here. I didn't even make a prediction about the season, because I know what comes after that. It's a consequence of success. You go and get all the talent, well, naturally, people are going to have really high expectation for you.
Of course. You can have a guy like Urban Meyer with his credentials and his knowledge and his insight.
And the dudes he's coached.
Say that this not only is the best roster in college football, but maybe ever.
Whoa.
Like, he threw out the maybe ever.
Okay.
Now, that's why I say, like, these guys are walking this tightrope. Yes, Ryan Day has pressure. And, of course, he knows it. And he's leaning into it. And let's go. Chips are in the middle.
Yeah.
Let's do this. But, and now you have an expanded playoff year. So you could even have a slip up 1 week like college teams do. It's very hard to go undefeated. So you could still get it done. Even, like, you want to talk about the layers of pressure now that are on this team? Absolutely. And now they've earned the pressure, right? Mm-hmm. The whole thing, pressure is a privilege, all that. Like, they've earned this based on how they've circled the wagons. And they've gotten everybody to re-believe, and they've gone into NIL, and they've made sure they had enough for everybody, and they got the transfer portal, and everybody wants in. And like I say, their biggest weapon outside of talent is the fact they've been, this is a humbled program over the last few years, so now they become even more dangerous. But that is...
It's all over the place.
That is something. And so it is absolutely real, and it should be.
And they, like you said, when you put together some of the resumes these guys have put together individually around the sport, and you come together collectively now with adding, you know, Quinshon and a Caleb Downs, this is the praise that they're going to get. They just have to make sure, you know, the veterans on this team know how to handle the noise, and we shall see how they handle it. But that's not going to slow down in the coming weeks and months, just about how good people think Ohio State is going to be. And hopefully for them, it pays off, you know, with some confetti touching their helmets and, a trophy in the sky, being held up to the sky. But a long way to go before we get to that, and they got to earn it.
Yeah, I mean, from top to bottom, they do. I mean, you and I have talked about this. Do they have the best quarterback in the nation? No. He doesn't have to be. Do they have the best offensive line in the country? Probably there's a big question mark there. Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
But you got monsters at a lot of other places.
You do. And like we've talked about. You know, will this be the year that they have game wreckers up front that really get after the quarterback and alter
consistently,
offenses
consistently?
Yes. And I'm not talking about sacks. I'm talking about pressures, constant pressures. And then the back end, how opportunistic are they when that pressure comes, and how much can they get into the scoring column?
That's the unit I believe in the most.
No doubt.
Is the back end.
So, you know, it's just, I want to say the hype is real. But when you say maybe ever, I think that's a little dangerous. Just a little bit.
He's seen some good. He knows what good teams look like, though.
That's true.
He does know.
No doubt. All right, that's your Buckeye Bulletin for today. We'll take a SportsCenter update break, come back with a deep dive. The number one target in fantasy. Should we be rolling the dice on a former rookie of the year? Who is it? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Knights on the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan. Ohio's girth destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, final hour of the program. Jordan DeJohnny, we'll talk NFL with him at 2:33. Kind of zero in with him on whether the Steelers can actually snatch up a pretty high-name receiver. But first, Maddie, let's pump the event.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you about the Schmitz Cardale Jones celebrity softball game, because it is coming. Why picnic when you can Schmitznick? And it is presented by Monogram Homes in the U.S. Air Force. This event is taking place Saturday, July 20th at 6:30 p.m. over at Huntington Park. Current Ohio State football players, they're taking on former Ohio State football players. The captains of these teams, you'll have Cardale Jones. He'll be captaining the former players team. And Emeka Egbuka, he's going to be rocking out with the current players. Tickets are only $10, and they are available today at BuckeyeCruise.com. Again, tickets are $10, and you can get them at BuckeyeCruise.com.
Pretty tight hockey game last night. That kept my attention the whole way. The first two goals came in the fast in the first 10 minutes. And then it was one goal the rest of the way. And I think at the end, you just saw the Oilers had nothing left. I mean, they put everything they could into that thing at the end, the comeback, everything. I mean, it was about as tight of a checking clinic as I've seen. And the Panthers got back to what their identity is. And they got world-class goaltending by Bobrovsky. Or as, hey, CB, I need a little, now that hockey season's in the books and they won and Bobrovsky was great, I need a little Sir Charles when you get a minute.
Oh, yeah,
you can find my link that I sent you. Yeah, I need to clip that and have it in my little touchscreen here, because Sergei Cinnamon Bobrovka was pretty awesome. I just think that it was an amazing display of shot blocking in the final 10 minutes. You talked about that scrum in front of the net. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure Bob saved it. I think that was his guys
just
making
around.
Sure McDavid didn't get that stick on that puck because he was there. You saw Billy Zito at the end. Even Stenlin's in on that thing, former Jacket. But I'll tell you, man, that was a team right there. And that's it wasn't great. Like last year when they go to the Cup Finals in 8th seed. This is, you know, they won the division. That's a 110-point team. They were legit. But going through that gauntlet and winning this thing and then blowing the 3-0 lead and then coming home and having the weight of the world, knowing you would be on the wrong side. You had been cemented on the wrong side of history forever. And to play with that kind of pressure and come up that big, yeah. I thought was pretty awesome.
It's great to see, man. And I'm happy for Bob. I know you mentioned earlier, you know, amongst some CBJ fans that might be split based off of their unhappiness or happiness for him. But me personally, I enjoy watching him kind of get off the mat, right, within the series. They had a couple rough games and really brought it home with a tremendous performance yesterday. You wanted to hear from Uncle Charles. Here he is.
Hey, guys.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, guys, TNT for the first time ever got the Stanley Cup final.
Energy, man.
And I'm going to just tell y'all something. Sergei Bobrovka is the goalie for the Panthers.
Sergei Bobrovka. He is awesome.
Oh, man. But when you're Charles Barkley, you can get away with that because people are expecting comedy from you anyway. So,
and unintentional comedy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think he was being genuine there, and he just tried to roll with it, and it came out that way.
I think he felt like, hey, I'm in the know, man. I know these guys. Let me tell you about them.
Gonna miss Charles. He's gone. He gone after one more year. He's retiring.
Is it finally over?
Yeah, he announced it. He's no more. He doesn't need to.
He'll retire from that, but he'll still be around.
We were talking earlier about athletes that were bad tippers. Charles is notoriously known for being on the other side of that.
that he's will either tip big or throw you through a plate glass window.
Wait,
one of those two.
What's that about?
That was years ago. Didn't he take that guy and throw him through the window of that restaurant?
Oh, that's news to me.
I
swear, I've never heard that.
Really?
You're talking Charles Barkley threw a dude through some glass?
Okay, maybe I just made up the glass part.
I've never heard this.
Hang on, let me go back. All right. Now that you've brought it up, because I want to know, there's a lot going on up in this brain.
You have a strong brain.
There's just not a lot left up there.
Oh, okay.
Right?
A tread left on
Bobby
the tire.
Said, the barley, the hops, the bong resin. But here's the deal. Charles had settled into Phineas Fogg's at this Church Street station. It's the entertainment district in downtown Orlando. And because I only remember stuff usually from the 80s or 90s. So this qualifies.
Which is surprising because that's when you were really out.
Clyde Drexler, five or six young female friends around 11 p.m. on October 25th, 1997. It's known for its stained glass windows.
Okay.
Top 40 playlist, nickel beer night. Phineas Fogg's kind of made the area at the time this big destination for, party people like the Iceman over here, looking to have fun or make some bad choices.
Nickel beer night, sounds like an incredible
time. In town for a preseason game against the Magic, Charles and Drexler posted up at the popular bar to unwind on a Sunday night, which meant the guard kept to himself while Charles signed autographs, took photos, and bought drinks, to your point, for strangers who wanted to buy him a beer.
There we go.
While there, the two ran into a 30-year-old reggae performer who they had met through actor Wesley Snipes.
Bob Marley. Just say it's Bob Marley.
Fine. I don't know if he was around. But, all right. And then Wesley Snipes, who happened to be filming Passenger 57. Always bet on black. The players asked the reggae performer to join them. So as I kind of cruise through the story, it's about 1:45 in the morning, and it's almost closing time. And there was an off-duty cop working the bar that night. He recalled that all seemed calm as people were exiting. In the middle of his training, he had gone out to get his mind off the grueling program and happened to find himself next to Charles' table. So this is an off-duty cop who had done his police academy training and going through his program and all that. Now he has a night out. That was about to change. A group looked to be exiting the bar. Ice cubes were flung. You've had that where all of a sudden
the Budweiser cologne.
Maddie feels like, why is my back of my neck all
got
wet?
Got caught in the middle of two girls fighting. That was
ice cubes were getting flung at the table where Charles and his friends were sitting, not hitting anyone, but bothering the women standing around the NBA legends. Drexler and other witnesses said the action was unprovoked. And then this guy recalled one of the women asking Charles, "You going to let these blank blank throw ice at you?" The power forward got up, blazed past onlookers to chase this guy down, and says, "If you bother me, I'm going to whip your blank."
Okay.
And the story is headlined, "The Night Charles Barkley Threw a Man Through a Glass Window."
He did tell us, AR, that he is not a role model, right? That was Charles Barkley, so maybe this story is true. CB is letting me know that apparently he has some type of audio that he's found of Charles. Is this Charles talking about what AR just read?
Yeah, it looks like Charles talking to the media after this event happened.
And is this like when he was still a player?
Back in 1997.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this.
"I think they were very supportive. They understand where I'm coming from. You know, in life, things happen, and everybody has their opinion what's right and what's wrong. Are my actions justified or not? But if I get arrested, it's embarrassing for the league. No matter what anybody says to me, I will not be baited. If somebody throws a drink on me, I've got to let somebody else handle it. I'm not asking for people not to say hello to me. I'm just asking people not to throw drinks on me and not to threaten me physically."
I'm just asking people not to throw drinks. CV, great job getting that audio. AO, great job finding the story, because I swear
I knew I remembered something from 27 years ago or whatever it was.
So clearly it happened, because he's not denying. He's admitting that something did happen and that he's going to learn from the situation. But what you got to do is then Chris Carter said, you need a fall guy. You got to have some people around you that are going to take the hit. Well,
Drexler was supposed to be the fall guy, I guess. yeah, this is unbelievable. He got taunted. The taunt set him off. They've been drinking. It was late at night.
Yeah.
And then do you know who the blank I am kind of thing? Mm. And it says in a matter of seconds, Charles chucked him through the plate glass window.
It's incredible.
Yeah. The funny thing is, in my mind, I thought it happened in Phoenix, but it happened in Orlando.
I would love to talk to just former athletes that played in the early 80s, early 90s when cell phones weren't around, and just some of the stuff that they got into and were allowed to get away with. Because if that story happens today,
why not just ask regular people?
You know what? That's true too. But the athletes, I'm sure they lived more of a luxurious life and just all of that. But if that story happened today, we have video evidence of it.
Oh, there's no. Oh,
it's
you have
everywhere.
Everywhere. And then you may not be able to just stand up in front of a mic and say, well, I got to learn to be better.
Like, and I hope people don't. Yeah. I'm just asking people not to board drinks.
So you said he's notoriously a very good tipper.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, it's just a rumor in the streets.
You brought up Pippen. Why doesn't Pippen buy Mike's house? Wouldn't that be amazing? I don't think he can afford $14 million. Maybe he can't. So I guess Scotty made some terrible financial decisions, some that through no fault of his own, but here's the one that really got him. And this is the one that's going to hurt you the most.
Oh, no.
Because I think this is what you want. So it said Scotty Pippen didn't, and by the way, the no tipping Pippen that we got from Chris who tweeted in, I can't believe I failed that I didn't remember that moniker.
Shout out that's to you, Chris.
Exactly what he was always called.
No tipping Pippen. Yeah.
So Pippen didn't just make one terrible financial decision, but a series of them. According to Home of the Playmaker, in 2002, Pippen purchased a private jet for $4.3 million. Mm. Now, the purchase, which is extravagant, isn't uncommon, as you know, amongst big-time celebrities. I don't know how many. Well, now you got Wheels Up and you got all that stuff. Yeah. Like, the guys can just buy hours. They don't need to own the plane. But where Pippen messed up was that he didn't take it for a test flight. The jet not only couldn't fly, but needed $1 million in repairs to function properly.
Ooh.
That was more than 20% of the cost of the jet. Pippen went to the court of the situation, but was only awarded $2 million. So he lost a couple on that. But apparently he burned through about $20
million. That's tough.
Now, he earned more than $100 million in the league, mm-hmm. So I'm sure he's okay.
Yeah.
But this falls under the athletes who are kind of poorer than you thought. And who knows, maybe he's in that mix, because the headline is how Scottie Pippen really lost so much of his NBA fortune.
Mm. Yeah. You got to take the Marshawn Lynch approach. That would be my advice. He did it the right way. All he used was his endorsement deals. That's the money he would spend. He sat on all of his NFL contracts until he retired. I know that's easier said than done, because that power that you probably feel in your fingertips when you got millions and millions of dollars, but that's what I would advise young guys to do. Use your endorsement deal money, get through the league, rack up the millions, and use it in the post-career.
When we all split up in Vegas that one night, where you went to your deal and I went to the Sphere,
was smelling what the Rock was cooking.
CB went to
and acknowledging my tribal
some
chief,
sort of a
Roman Reigns.
That's right.
I need you to throw up the ones when I say that. Okay, you're in the bloodline.
Memphis Reigns.
Yeah, you're in the bloodline with us. Come on, throw up the ones.
CB went to some Glitter Gulch or wherever he was.
Wait, what?
I went to In-N-Out Burger.
Okay. And he walked. The man walked. So he's smart. He walked there and he burned the calories on the way back. I see the vision.
So we all split up and I came back. And you know those stores, CB, up there in Mandalay where that gelato was? And then you go up that escalator and you go to those stores. So I was walking around there on my own, just looking around when I came back. And Marshawn was in that little shoe store.
He had his own store in the hotel.
He did. He had his own. That's right. He had Beast Mode. But he was in that store like a couple down.
Okay.
And I was in there before he came in. And I was just looking at him. And he walked in and I said, hey. And then I started thinking, because, you know, you're always working. And, you know, what do we have for tomorrow? Maybe I can get a little interview with him. And, you know, I asked him, I go, you know, can you want to talk about the game? And he just said, nah, I'm good. I'm like, all right. That's a fair answer.
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
It reminded me of all the press conferences, right? I'm only here so I don't get fined. I wanted to get that out, but I didn't.
I need to hear that.
I understood.
Oh, man. He has some classic. He was a monster, though. He was a monster on the field.
Yeah. Peach, they just needed to give him the ball one more time.
I don't think you ever get over that.
How do you go all the way down the field with him?
Come on.
And then overthink it.
Come on, Pete.
It's not just Pete. I know Bevel had something to do with the call.
But he's hearing it in the headset.
Of course.
What the hell are we doing?
By the way, Buck stops with you, dude.
It does.
Don't throw that on Daryl Bevel or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's fine. It's the Paul Allen. This is the Super Bowl.
Get it ready for pre-snap.
This is just some throwaway,
get it ready for
throwaway game up in Rochester.
We got to play it next.
By the way, there's Joey B's little backless suit.
Not a good look.
It's not. He can't pull off everything. All right, pre-snap read coming up next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, Ice, a little Bet365 time.
Yes, sir, because at Bet365, we don't do ordinary, and you can see for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Guardians, Orioles tonight. Real quick, Shout out to Tanner Bibee. I mean, how good has that dude been his last three starts? Awesome. I know you got him on your fantasy team, but
he's got, what, 30 strikeouts in three games?
Something like that. Yeah, Shane Bieber goes down and Bibee says, I'm stepping up. But tonight should be another good game between two of the best teams in the American League. I'm looking at Stephen Kwan's total bases tonight. He's been red hot for a long time. The number for him is 1.5. Give me the over. The juice on that is +115. So Stephen Kwan, a.k.a. Rich Homie Kwan, I'm going over 1.5 total bases.
Good value there. So I got two choices here. I either ride with Lugo tonight against Miami at home, or I go with Skubal at home against the Phillies.
I'd stay away from the Phillies.
I probably will, but I'm thinking about maybe more of a player prop situation. Lugo hasn't really been... I wonder if I go value like you do, because he had 8 strikeouts in his last game against Oakland, and now he gets Miami.
Yeah,
the over-under on K's is 5.5, though, and the over is a fairly... It's an underdog, a +115.
I like picking on the Miami offense more so than dealing with Bryce Harper and Trey Turner and Schwarber and those guys.
All right, so I'll go Lugo over and try to get some value.
There you go. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365 is the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps.
You guys are ridiculous.
Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe
he had a bad ankle.
It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's a classic.
You know what? Blame Favre.
It's classic.
Blame him. Okay, it's a bad throw. But you guys have to understand what that game was. All we did was put the ball on the ground. That's all we did. I think we fumbled 6 times, lost 3 of them. Peterson was fumbling. Harvin was fumbling. It was a bad game. And we had the ball inside their 5 before half, didn't even come away with 3. Yeah. Like, it was a bad game. And then the coaches got nailed for 12 men in the huddle, I think, on that drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I do want to, you know, as long as you guys brought it up, which I love the fact that you do.
Do you, though?
Because it gives me an opportunity, though, to give a little context to the situation. Ryan Longwell's longest field goal that year was 52 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard Paul Allen mention you can take a knee and hit a 55, 56 yarder, whatever he said.
You want to hear it again?
No. He only had only made two field goals of 50 or more all year.
Okay.
So, and by the way, both of those field goals came at home. Now, I know that was in the dome. It's in New Orleans. It's not outside. But I'm telling you, the last time Longwell even made a 55-yarder was 2007. 2 years before that. I'm just telling you, it wasn't automatic.
I just love that this gets you going every single time.
Well, when you've been that close, you remember these things. And I will tell you that the biggest failure in all that, aside from Favre with a risky back-over-the-middle throw, was the Viking coaching staff not being a little more aggressive. And I'll tell you what, we sensed that when the Buckeyes were playing Georgia, when they had them on the ropes. And a couple of calls there, and they didn't try to kind of get them closer. Mm-hmm. They tried a wild play, and then they left themselves with a 50-yarder. Makeable, because he just made a 48-yarder.
Yeah.
But
you know what?
I didn't have a Hall of Fame kicker waiting to go.
I just need CB to do something for me, because I don't remember the yardage on the field goal. I think we need clarity on that. So go ahead and run that back.
Okay, you guys are nuts.
Run it back. I need it, because we just need clarity. You added context. Let's get even more clarity.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field
56.
goal. 56. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I love the I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. We've all felt that pain as fans, right? I felt that way after the AFC Championship game last year, and it's hard to get over. But when you have, you know, somebody illustrating it verbally for you, painting the picture verbally for you that way, that's just one of those all-time clips that's going to stand the test of time. So I know it pains you, but, you know, you got to at least give us a little grace there that it's some enjoyment for us.
What happens when you pick up an ex-Packer? And you have him as kicker, and you have a kicker and a quarterback who are ex-Packers. Now, listen, I that one hurt. That one hurt a lot. It didn't hurt as bad as 98. It didn't. All right, let me ask you a quick knee-jerk reaction question, CB. Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk.
See, I know there's a lot of Browns fans that are super attached to Amari Cooper, and I totally understand that. He's been great with the Browns so far, but my thing is that I can get younger with a receiver that has the metrics that he does with getting separation. It's without a doubt I'm taking Brandon Ayuk in that situation.
All day and tomorrow. And as AR says, twice on Sunday.
Yep. Just interesting.
They already got away with highway robbery getting Amari Cooper for a fifth round pick. If that happened, Andrew Berry must be holding something over these GMs and owners.
He would probably have to attach a pick with it, maybe like a second rounder.
I'd pull the trigger immediately, CB.
First of all, he's not going to be available, I don't think. Although yesterday I was telling you that there is some tiny leverage there if he feels he's not getting. If he wants $30 million a year and they're willing to offer him 26, that's not a guy making. That's not someone listening to the program right now who's making $26,000 a year and wants to get $30,000 out of their boss. This is somebody trying to get four more million. I know it's relative because it's the NFL football, but I just don't think he's going to be available.
No, and he shouldn't be. They've been knocking on the door of a Super Bowl the last few years, and he's a integral part of what they want to do. And he and T. Higgins kind of got a similar thing going on to where they're held back a little bit just because of really good talent around them. And since he is Jamar Chase, and Higgins has been good, but he knows in his mind he can be even better. So that's the money he's looking for. And the same thing can be said for IU, but maybe even at a higher level because it's Kittle, Debo, CMC, and the list goes on and on there. So I don't think he's going anywhere, and hopefully they can figure something out because as CB laid out, the type of player he is a very good one, and I think he gives them more runway than a guy like Debo does.
How are we doing with Coop? Everything good there, CB? Or are we still?
I mean, we heard from Andrew Berry last week. It sounds like they're still kind of in the process of discussing, you know, maybe the length of the contract, not necessarily the money. So it'll be interesting to see what they settle on. I think it'll probably be a 1 or 2 year type of extension.
Well, he wants guaranteed money, right? I mean, that's the thing. So we'll see if they restructure that, and we'll ask Jordan Ajani about it, because that is the offseason piece right now, is Ayuk, whether he's staying with the 49ers or whether he's out there. We'll talk to him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Death, taxes, and beating Michigan every damn year. This is your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole. Ooh. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, back at it with our friend Jordan Ajani, NFL reporter, CBS Sports, with us now on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Gets Hotline. Jordan, welcome back.
Yo, my friends, what's going on? Thanks for having me on the show this afternoon.
All right, thank you, my man. Let's ask you about Brandon Ayuk and where you think this all stands. We know he wants more money. We're not sure whether the Niners are going to want to pay him that money. Is there any other scenario that they just come to a compromise? Or do you think there's something that would generate a move here where they could offer him up as a trade piece?
Yeah, I'm kind of glad we have something to talk about in the NFL, because at this point in the calendar, there's nothing really else going on, and we have our summer break right before training camp. But this really is a fascinating situation for a number of different reasons. I mean, Ayuk, he met with the 49ers on Monday, and I think that's good news for a resolution being met relatively soon. I don't know if that's going to be a long-term deal. I don't know if that's going to be a trade. I don't know if that's just going to be him bucking up and gearing up for training camp, you know? According to Adam Schefter, the Commanders and 49ers had conversations regarding a potential trade. You have to remember that the new Washington GM, Adam Peters, came from the 49ers, but Schefter says that talks fell flat. Pittsburgh Steelers, there's been a lot of noise concerning them and a potential trade. But Brandon Ayuk wants his money. The thing is, Justin Jefferson just signed a deal that makes life harder for every other NFL team looking to re-sign their star wideout. So my question is, What is the kind of money that Brandon Ayuk is willing to accept, right? Is it going to be that number three contract that surpasses Amon-Ra St. Brown and is technically behind A.J. Brown? And I don't know if the 49ers are necessarily ready to hand out that kind of contract. So if you're asking me for a prediction, I really don't know what to tell you guys, because I can see a number of different possibilities becoming a reality.
All right, let's go up to Cleveland and stick with another wide receiver that's looking for a new deal, and that's Amari Cooper. Older in age, we understand that, right around 30-31, but when you look at what he's been able to do in Cleveland and where the market stands at the moment, what would you do if you were Andrew Berry?
Man, Amari Cooper doesn't get the kind of credit he deserves. The first player in Browns franchise history to record back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons. I think his 1,250 receiving yards this past season marked a career high. I keep going back to that matchup against the Houston Texans where he was virtually unguardable. And in terms of the financials, I think Amari Cooper is the number 20 highest paid wide receiver, $20 million per year, and I think he's entering the final year of his contract as well. As you mentioned, since he's 30 years old, hopefully a situation, or I guess a resolution, is going to be easier to come by. You know, not a long-term extension, a couple years. A bump in pay to get him toward near that top 10, top 15, whatever it may be. He's certainly not someone who's going to reset the market, but that's good news for Browns fans and for the Browns general manager, in my opinion. I think that a resolution is certainly going to be easy to get to compared to the situation the 49ers find themselves in with Brandon Ayuk.
All right, the only quarterback in the NFL who ended up maybe with a more player-friendly deal than Deshaun Watson is Dak Prescott. And so now he's getting paid a decent amount, and Dallas had to give up the no tag and all, no trade, no tag. Like, this is all on Dak. But everything we hear is that Dak's the one that's kind of maybe thinking about playing out this year and then testing free agency. What do you think's going to happen?
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on the situation, and it's mostly because I really don't know exactly what's going to happen. When we got to the offseason, you know, a few months ago, I really thought that the Cowboys would immediately extend Dak Prescott for a number of different reasons. For one, we know that the market was about to blow up with some of these guys like Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff. But also, it would lower his cap hit and give the Cowboys some financial flexibility when it comes to acquiring talent in the offseason. But that did not happen. So, you know, as the offseason continues to drag on, it seems more and more likely that Dak Prescott will indeed play out this final year of his contract. And it's going to make it really hard for the Cowboys to extend him because they have a couple of other players they have eyes on, such as CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. And the longer the situation draws out, it seems more and more unlikely, in my opinion, that Dak Prescott's going to be a member of the Dallas Cowboys long term.
So, as you know, last year one of the biggest surprises around the NFL was C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. When you look at some of the offseason moves that have been made, the draft picks that have been made, have you identified a team that, Jordan, maybe won't make that same type of leap, but a team that is really ready to level up from where they were a year ago?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think we're always trying to find that team that no one's talking about that could potentially make a huge jump. And I don't know if I have someone like the Houston Texans. Granted, the Houston Texans were incredibly unpredictable. No one saw them making the kind of jump they did. But, you know, we talked about the New York Jets before on your show. They're a team that I find really interesting. But another team that, you know, I've already put some money down on this rookie quarterback to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. What about the Minnesota Vikings? You know, Kevin O'Connell is this kind of offensive mastermind, in my opinion. And a lot of people think that they've suffered a downgrade in quarterback play. That may be true. Kirk Cousins is an underrated signal caller. But who knows? J.J. McCarthy may be an efficient quarterback that can run this offense. Minnesota upgraded at running back with Aaron Jones. I think they upgraded defensively as well under Brian Flores. You know, they lost to Neil Hunter, but they now have a stockpile of pass rushers that really fit what Minnesota wants to do defensively. I know the Detroit Lions are kind of a top dog in that division. I'm not saying the Vikings are going to win the NFC North. But in terms of a sleepy team that we're not talking about enough, I would lean towards the New York Jets and maybe the Minnesota Vikings as well.
You don't think you think the Vikes will be pressured, even if he's as good as Darnold or better, you still think the Vikings would force this thing? Because they could sit him a little bit. They don't have to rush this. It's not like they're, you know, a team that's going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Correct. It's a good point, because when we're talking about the quarterback battles that will go on in training camp, I think the Vikings one is the toughest one to figure out. That's the one I'm not immediately penciling J.J. McCarthy to start, because Sam Darnold is a capable player, and he's someone who can win over the trust of Kevin O'Connell for sure. But also, I think McCarthy, you know, he was one of those prospects who was arguably the highest riser on draft boards throughout the pre-draft process, and he's a quarterback that a lot of offensive minds in the league see a lot of potential in. And I can tell you guys straight up, McCarthy was not number one quarterback in this class to me. You know, he did not shoulder the load offensively for the Michigan Wolverines. But when you talk to different people around the league, they have a high level of respect for this guy. He's someone who can come in and learn and run a system efficiently. And you go back and watch the tape during his college days, he was efficient when it came to throwing the ball on third down, even if he wasn't shouldering the load offensively, like I said. So he has a lot of things around him, right, with T.J. Hockenson, the best wide receiver in the NFL, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, who I think is incredibly underrated. We talked about the upgrade at running back with Aaron Jones. He has some nice pieces around him to find a certain level of success immediately in Minnesota.
Yep, good stuff, man. It'll be fun to see it play out. Always appreciate you. You know, we'll ring you up soon.
Thanks so much, and I apologize for complimenting a Michigan Wolverine on your show. I won't do it again.
All good, You've Jordan.
Been, yes.
All good.
You've been warned. All right. Thanks, JD. Good to have you, man. Jordan Ajani, CBS Sports, covering the NFL. And, I'm not so sure. I mean, we'll see. I think it's just he may not be ready. And you've got Sam Darnold, and you're not – I know you want to win, but he's the one that could sit.
You know, I want to comp J.J. McCarthy to a whole other sport, and it's college basketball, specifically some of the Kentucky Wildcats that were under Coach Cal, where they had all that talent around them. You couldn't really step up to be a guy, right? And a guy like Devin Booker, when you go to the NBA and you get drafted pretty high, you got to show that you can be the franchise guy, and he has shown that. So for J.J. McCarthy, I think where some of the pause comes for some people is we never really watched him put on the cape a ton because he didn't have to. He did it in moments, but that doesn't mean he can't do it. So that's going to be a very fascinating quarterback situation to see unfold, is whether or not J.J. McCarthy can step in, no matter when he steps in, and be a dude at the quarterback position, because it's just an unknown. And look, they paid Sam Darnold pretty good for, you know, 1 year. They're paying him $10 million. So you're right. They don't have to pay him right away. But with J.J., we just haven't seen it. So now you get into a place where there's great structure around you and a great offensive play caller and a head coach, which I agree with Jordan. And in time, I think he'll be in good hands because of the system and the playmakers around him.
The one that the race that I'm going to watch is between J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. That's the one, because I think they have good play calling coaches, decent situations. No one's expecting the world yet.
Minnesota's situation is much better. Much. Yeah. It's not even close playmaker-wise.
Not playmaker-wise, but I feel like they're both in this path of who's going to turn out to be better. I think they're both in decent hands, but I can't tell you which one I'd rather have
now. I don't even know if Bo's in decent hands, big dog. I don't like Denver. I don't know.
I just think that Peyton's just hell-bent on getting it right eventually. Not right away. Like, they both don't have to be stars right away.
By the way, that's a head coach. We got to see something, Sean.
That too.
We got to see something, big dog.
All right, we'll come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
When that alarm clock goes off, morning juice comes on. The perfect way to dominate your day or just lay around the house. Morning juice.
Weekdays at 6. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree draft beer.
All right, CB, take us home.
All right, I don't know if you've been following along to this lawsuit about the NFL and their Sunday ticket package, but pretty much they are trying to claim that it's, you know, they kind of upcharged it more than they probably should have or what they were originally offering. And there's a chance, depending on how the lawsuit finishes up, that the price could come down of the product. Now, depending on whether you have YouTube TV or not, it's usually in between $350 to $450 for the season. My question to you is, tell the truth. If they did bring it down to like a more, or let's rephrase it, what range of price should it come down to before you buy it?
Wow. See, here's the thing. Here's where I'm torn, CB. I love being out with the squad at a bar on an NFL Sunday. There's just something about the energy in a bar, especially if you're around, you know, some Browns or Bengal fans and you got one of your, you know, the Here We Go Brownies guys, some of those guys rolling around because they've been drinking too many White Claws. Because you know what they say, ain't no laws when you off them claws, AR. That's what they say. But
and you got them Ravens gear on.
Oh, yeah. Really, I'm in the trenches, man. I'm absolutely in the trenches talking trash and doing all that good stuff. But CB would have to come down to about $100. $100, and then I'd be tempted, but I would have a lot of FOMO because being out and getting some wings and eating fries and stuff on a Sunday, it's a good time. So I'd probably be $100.
So when you first asked it, my mind went to, I don't need it. If I got the red zone, I'm good. Like, and I don't know whether that's the fantasy factor for me, but all I need are the regular games, the games I watch, and the red zone channel.
Okay.
I don't need Sunday ticket. And so I wonder where this would have to be for me to say, okay, I need that too. And what you're saying, because I don't even have it, so it's what? I can watch any game, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, outside of the primetime ones and whatnot, but yeah, like for me, with my two TV action, no flex, but I would have the Browns game on one TV and the Texans on the other.
You can't say no flex after flexing. That's not how that works.
I don't even know if that really is a flex anymore.
But
I
think actually, you don't even need that because of YouTube TV. They have the quad box. I always had the Browns, and then I had C.J. Stroud with the Texans, and then you could fill in the other two with whatever you wanted to do.
A nice setup. I see you.
Yeah. I'm a little old school, man. I'm
You like to work that last button.
Working that last button like a crafty vet. I got the red zone channel. I think that's all I need. Okay. It's not like I wouldn't want to watch the Vikes, but I don't know. I just feel like red zone is where it's at.
I got you.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
All right, my guy Matty Ice took my drink from the Stanley Cup question earlier, but thankfully I found a good option it's off topic, but to include in our truth today. So I saw Texas Roadhouse, funny, their headquarters is founded in Louisville, Kentucky. So that's why the state of Ohio is one of the three states as the test states for the freezer aisle packaging of their, you know, their honey butter rolls. So they're going to be a freezer option that you'll test out. You can take it home, put it in the oven, make it up, and then it'll have a little
bit
of the serving.
Put it in the oven?
Yeah.
You, Sorry.
You would have a 12 count of rolls, and then it also comes with the honey butter. My question to you is, if you saw this in the freezer section, if it looks like exclusively at Walmart, would you get this?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, CB. Is it honey butter or cinnamon butter?
I'm sorry,
butter?
It's cinnamon honey butter.
Okay, that stuff is absolutely...
It's cinnamon honey.
That stuff is...
What's
booming.
Your name, cinnamon honey?
I don't... That sounds like a question you ask on the Las Vegas Strip. That response is what I would expect if we were in Vegas. That type of name. CB, I don't know if I want it. Sorry.
I don't know. I haven't had these.
Oh, you need it. You need it.
You
got to go.
It's the best way to waste your appetite before your meal.
Oh, yeah. Just
Well, I used to do that at the cooker. The cooker used to throw down. You guys know the cooker?
No, I never heard of the cooker.
Oh, no. It can't be that old.
I promise.
I'm not
never,
that. Like, that
the
can't.
The cooker? Never heard
I can't
of it.
Believe it. I'm going to fall off this chair. We're in Columbus, Ohio.
I haven't heard of the cooker, man.
Those buttery biscuits. Oh. They dropped those babies right on the table.
Okay.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
All right. No, I'm out. I'm out of the contest.
No.
But you say they're really good.
No, I promise. It's really good. Like, you get a nice little yeast roll, and they come down, and they drop that cinnamon butter on you. You spread that thing on that roll. That'll get you... That'll get it going. What's up?
So, are you a fan of the Bloomin' Onion at Outback?
I am.
Here's a would you rather, because you haven't had the rolls from Texas Roadhouse. I'll kind of angle this to Maddie. Would you rather have the Bloomin' Onion or the rolls?
I'm more of a Bloomin' Onion type of guy, because whatever the sauce is that comes with a Bloomin' Onion, that stuff's undefeated.
Oh, it's like you would describe it as like a Cane's.
Something like a
Thousand
Cajun,
Island,
yes.
Russian dressing, kind of Cajun. Amazing. Yeah, it's got all that.
And with the cinnamon butter, CB, it kind of reminds me of dessert, and I don't like to eat dessert before I eat like a steak. So the butter's a little too sweet for me, so I would rather go with the Bloomin' Onion, even though the butter and the rolls is a good combo.
And the truth shall set you free!
Before we leave for the day, if you miss Pete Futek talking all things college football, Evan Damerel talking Cavs, and Jordan DeJani talking all things NFL, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you.
All right, I'll have to try some of these. When do they hit the aisle?
I don't know if there's a date yet for it, but it looks like Ohio's going to be one of the three states with it exclusively at Walmart.
Do you think they'll be as good as... Like, you're bringing it from the restaurant home?
I don't think so, but it's going to be pretty close.
That's my worry.
Yeah, like you said, you know, put them in the oven, doctor them up a little bit.
There you go.
All right, I'm on the case. When we step aside, Conman and T-Bone will slide in. Teddy Ballgame's got his rapid fire all ready for you. So stay right here. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. This is a Fan Action Update.
The Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup in Game 7 last night, 2-1. Prior to the start of the season, the Panthers were 20-1 to win the Stanley Cup. Since 1984, Florida becomes only the fifth team with 20-1 odds or higher in the preseason to go on and win it. The Blue Jackets open up 300-1 to win the Stanley Cup next year. For your Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keels. Cleveland Guardians will try and stay hot as they continue their series in Baltimore tonight. Logan Allen pitching for the Guardians, who've won six in a row and have an eight-game lead atop the AL Central. Cole Irvin on the mound for Baltimore. Cincinnati Reds will try for a second straight win, hosting Pittsburgh again tonight. Mitch Keller pitches for the Pirates. Hunter Green for the Reds. Columbus Clippers at home, hosting Omaha this evening at Huntington Park. Golf USA announcing today that Nelly Korda, Rose Zhang, and Lily Vu will represent America at the Paris Olympics. Based on the qualifying rankings, Court of the World's number one, Zhang number two, and Vu is number nine. This update brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, a no-risk, all-rewards path to real weight loss. If you're not happy with your results in the first week, get 100% of your money back. Awaken180weightloss.com. Breaking sports news. When it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.